been waiting all week for this, and here it is. The Illegal Curve Radio Show starts now. Here comes 2 hours of hard-hitting hockey talk, and here's your host, Drew the Bear Mindell.
Live from the 92.9 studios in downtown Winnipeg, you're listening to the Illegal Curve Radio Show. Filling in the host seat for Drew Mindell, I'm Richard Pollock, and joined in studio by Ezra Ginsberg, who is currently in the midst of trying to put together our Ustream feed, which is generally manned by the R desk, Michael Remus. So I'll give you guys a little bit of a quick preview here. Of course, Drew, our main host, Drew Mindell, the main host, and Michael Remus, the main R desk contributor who runs our Ustream chat at ustream.tv/illegalcurve, are at family dinners. Of course, it's Rosh Hashanah tonight to our Jewish listeners. Happy New Year. And they are, so they'll be back next week and filling in. Of course, I'm in the host seat, and we got Ezzy here. Ezzy's going to be doing a double duty, not only manning the Ustream chat and video, including webcam, but also contributing to this show as the main co-host. So happy to have you here tonight, and give you a quick preview of what exactly we're going to talk about tonight. And first off, we have a guest, Shelley Anderson from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, is going to be on at 7:20 in our second segment. Shelley's going to talk about a lot of things, but of course, the Penguins signed Mike Carmi last week. So that's an interesting topic I like to delve into, especially because of the cost that they got him for, $500,000, which is, of course, the NHL minimum. So we're going to ask Shelley about that. We're going to ask Shelley about Sidney Crosby, of course, Evgeny Malkin, the Penguins' winger issues, their defenseman signings with Zdeněk Mihajlík and Paul Martin, what to expect from Marc-Andre Fleury. I always feel like the Penguins are probably one of the most interesting teams to talk about because they have so much star power, and really what they do every year is they keep the stars and they fill out the rest of the roster. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, but let's see what happens this year. It should be interesting. Of course, so much else to talk about. I mean, we're in August, but we have Ilya Kovalchuk to talk about. Of course, that deal finally went through after we had Rich Scher on last week from the New York Star-Ledger to talk about that whole ordeal. The Ilya Kovalchuk contract was approved with some amendments, and we're going to talk about those amendments in this first segment because, of course, that amendment, while it may seem, people grew so tired of the Kovalchuk issue that they just kind of ignored it. But the new contract and, of course, the rules and the agreement reached between the NHL and the NHLPA as a consequence of that deal is going to have major ramifications moving forward. And we'll talk about why that is in a second. Of course, we'll preview the rest of the show. Lots to talk about here. Tons of signings this week, and we're going to delve into those after talking to Shelley Anderson. And in the third segment, we're going to talk about all the signings and the rumored signings, whether it be Bobby Ryan or the trouble with Peter Mueller in Colorado. But there's been signings, and that's Jeff Halpern. We're going to talk about him, Freddie Modin, the aforementioned Mike Comrie, Carey Price, someone we didn't talk about last week, funny enough, because Drew and I and Ezzy didn't really think it was that much of an issue. We thought it'd get done, and of course it did get done. We'll talk about the terms of that deal later. And Chris Stewart, a player that most people may not know much about, but he's a talented player. He played in Colorado last year, and was one of the main reasons that team took it to the next level and made the playoffs, surprisingly so. Going to talk about that in the first hour. Delving into the second hour, there's rumors that Roberto Luongo may decide to give up his captaincy. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about Thomas Caberle and his comments about his dad's comments. Again, much ado about nothing, especially out of Toronto, but we'll give it its time. It's the end of August here. We're closing in. Sorry, it's beginning of September. We're closing in on the beginning of the season and training camp starting in about a week or so. And then talking about Mark Savard, we're going to talk about the Quebec City issue, which is going to be an interesting one, especially for Winnipeg listeners, because the Quebec government gets their act together here, which apparently they are, and they decide to invest money into this stadium, this arena, excuse me. It could mean possibly two teams coming back to Canada within the next 3 to 5 years, and that's been much rumored for a while, so we're going to delve into that issue. We're going to talk about Jonathan Chichu. I mean, we're going to run the gamut here about hockey topics, and looking forward to doing so. Ezzy, you ready to roll here, or you still need a little time?
Hey, Richie, a couple minutes late. I'm still setting this up, but yeah, I'm going to need a few more minutes here. I'm getting the webcam set up here.
Okay, well, let me quickly get into the whole Ilya Kovalchuk deal. The deal finally went through. We can talk about the terms of the contract after, but let's talk more importantly about the ramifications moving forward. And first off, the NHL and NHLPA came to an agreement. I mean, shockingly so. The NHLPA is rumored to be pushing through Donald Fehr in the next few days. Good thing. We talked about that last week. It's a good thing. But the fact that the NHL and the NHLPA came to an agreement, decided not to butt heads on every single issue and said, you know what, this can be a mutually beneficial agreement for both of us, and they agree, and they came to this, and they decided to put their egos to the side. I think that's terrific. Now, in terms of the actual specifics of what happened, I'll read you the clips from the articles online. First, for long-term contracts extending beyond the age of 40, the contract's average annual value for the years up to and including 40 are calculated by dividing total value in those years by the number of years up to and including 40 being years old. Then, for the years covering ages 41 and beyond, the cap charge in each year is equal to the value of the contract in that year. So what you're seeing there is the NHL and NHLPA getting rid of the tail. The tail being the last 3 years of the deal being for $500,000, thereby taking down the average cap hit, which is the biggest thing, right? Because in the National Hockey League, it's not the amount of money the player is being paid that year that counts against the cap. It's the average of his entire contract. So putting on three cheap years at the end lessens the average cap hit, thereby giving the teams more money to spend that particular year. So that's interesting. Secondly, as the article says, for long-term contracts that include years in which the player is 36, 37, 38, 39, and 40, the amount used for purposes of calculating his average annual value is a minimum of $1 million in each of those years, even if his actual compensation is less during those seasons. Again, what you're seeing there is the NHL eliminating those $500,000 deals, which, by the way, is the National Hockey League minimum today. But we know with all inflation and everything like that, $500,000 is not going to be the minimum, maybe even next year, never mind 5 years from now. So the minimum will be $1 million, so they're actually looking forward there, at least till 2012 when the CBA expires. And they're limiting the ability to lessen those contract hits. So the NHL and NHLPA did a good thing here. Now, I don't necessarily think this is going to eliminate the long-term deal, but it's going to certainly, you know, put the foot on the throat a little bit of these general managers from trying to really get around it. I mean, you can still put the long-term deal in place, but you're not going to be able to lessen that cap hit by $1 million. So if you're averaging, you really should be averaging six and you're trying to average five, you probably won't be able to do that. So in that sense, this is a good thing. I personally don't like the long-term deals, but the general managers are allowed to sign whatever they want to, and they're allowed to incur that risk. I think it is a risk. I think 10-year deals down the road could very well end up being very, very, very difficult to get rid of. Maybe 5 years down the road if a player gets subject to injury. I mean, we don't know what's going to happen with Alexander Ovechkin's knee. You hope that he's going to play for the next 15 years and score 50 goals a year. But he could tear his ACL next year and never be the same. So there's a risk inherent in that. But for players like Ovechkin, I can understand. For long-term contracts for some other players have been somewhat questionable in my mind. And, you know, you live with it. The GM signing it, and many times the GM signing it, it's not going to be the GM who has to live with the deal when it really breaks down. So you can look at it from that angle, too. Anyways,
Richie, we should be up right now.
Okay. Well, where are we, Izzy? We're up on what?
We're up on Ustream here. It took me about 10 minutes to get this going, but
don't worry, Ustream.
There's a couple of webcams up, but hopefully the audio is working. If it isn't, we'll get on top of that on the break. But okay. We do have video at least. So
great.
You know, we're
how do
up
I look?
There. So now I'm ready to talk. I'm ready to talk Ilya Kovalchuk.
Well, Ustream. By the way, Izzy is talking about listening to our show online at Ustream. Letter U stream.tv/illegalcurve. We have live streaming. As you just mentioned, live streaming video as well as obviously audio and a chat room. So you can talk about you can opine on the Kovalchuk issue. You can ask questions. You can do whatever you like. You can talk to the other members of the chat. We encourage you to do so. It's been an absolutely terrific find, and Michael Remus is responsible for that. And Michael, or as Denise calls him, Remy. Denise, you did call him Remy today. You want to take account for that?
Okay, yes, I did. Every time I see his name, I think Remy.
Well, Remy or Michael Remus, as he likes, or the main chief of the R desk is responsible for putting everything together online like that. So if you want to listen to the show right after it goes off air, you're able to do so. Ezzy, you want to quickly chime in on the Kovalchuk? Because you're a big Devils fan. I believe the final terms were 15 years at 100 mil?
Oh, yeah, 15 years at 100 mil, yeah. Which was kind of announced the day before Wednesday when, you know, the extension was made for the contract to be announced by the Devils and the NHL. And obviously the NHL and the NHLPA were working on amendments to the CBA. But
What do you think of that, by the way?
The amendments, I thought they were pretty, you know, commonsensical, really. They had to make these amendments so that agents and the NHL knew that some of these contracts weren't going to be reopened and basically voided. But I mean, I don't know. I don't think that, to be honest with you, I didn't have that much problems, and I don't think that you had that many problems with some of the long-term contracts that were signed. I mean, there's a salary cap. We're living in a salary cap world, and some of these players deserve this much money. You know, they deserve the max salary, and you know, why can't an athlete in the NHL sign a 12-year deal or a $15 million deal,
sure,
when in the majors that type of deal happens? Not so much in the NFL or the NBA, right?
Well, the NBA has a cap on term.
The NBA has a hard cap,
and the NFL, with the fact that the contracts aren't guaranteed, really you're going year to year. So baseball's the only other one.
As far as the second contract, I was a little bit surprised that he still signed for 15 years. We talked about this on the show last week. I thought he was going to sign for in between 8 and 10 years, but obviously he wants, he wants to play his entire career in New Jersey, really. That's what he's signing up for.
You know, Ezzy, I want to ask you this, because you follow the Devils very closely. His eventual cap, it ends up being 6.66 a year, okay? The Devil.
Playing on the
Devils, which is funny.
Yeah.
But jokes aside, Zach Parise is a better hockey player than him all around. Maybe not sniping ability, but basically everything else. Zach Parise
definitely accomplished more than people thought he was going to accomplish at a younger age.
Zach Parise, exactly right. And Zach Parise is 25 years old. Kovalchuk's 27. It's funny how there's actually not that much of a difference in terms of age. It's a great core to build around, but Zach Parise is going to demand more than 6.66. So you're going to have your salary cap really tied up there, especially because Patrick Eliash's cap hits going through 2013, and he's at $6 million a year. So that's why there's talk. We're up against the break. We got about a minute and a half here. That's why there's talk, Ezzy, that Brian Rolston might be on the block.
Well, yeah, Richie, I know. Sorry, go ahead. But I know you wanted to talk about that later. But yeah, I have something somewhat new about Rolston.
But throw it out here, because we got lots of stuff to talk about tonight. We might not get to it.
Okay. Well, you mentioned this yesterday to me, and they are trying to move Rolston. There isn't a lot of interest. And he does have a no-trade clause, which is different than a no-movement clause. But they're not going to ask him to waive his no-trade clause. They're $3 million over the cap. They've got, about 3 weeks now before the season starts? Maybe a month, if you include the week after.
That's right. But you have to be, by day one of the season, you have to be below the salary cap. Otherwise,
They want to move Rolston. That's clear at this point.
Now, there's not
a lot of interest, because at $5 million for a guy who...
$5 million for the next 2 years.
For the next two years.
And he's 37 years old.
Is right now... A couple of people mentioned this on the Tom Gulitti article that I read on the Bergen County Record. Gulitti's a Devils writer.
That's right.
Lamoriello's weakness has been signing guys that used to play for the Devils to bad contracts.
That's right.
This contract, I think right now, with the exception of one or two, is the worst contract. Yeah, and
it's been terrible.
They're going to end up, and we're going to, if we do have a chance right now to talk about this, it looks like some teams are asking for David Clarkson.
To take Rolston.
Got a good
shot. He's tough.
Rolston. And the Devils might have to do that, because nobody wants that.
That's interesting. Or there's a talk about Zarkov and many other prospects. We're going to delve more into that Rolston issue as a result of the Kovalchuk contract being processed through later on in the show. But after the break, which we're taking right now, Shelley Anderson of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette is going to be on the Illegal Career Radio Show. You're listening to 92.9 KICK FM.
Hi, I'm Kenny, host of The Kenny Show, heard Sundays from noon to 2 here on KICK FM. And I'd like to take this opportunity to apologize. Sometimes the Kenny Show can be insensitive, sometimes politically incorrect, and sometimes, well, it's in bad taste. For this, I'm sorry. The Kenny Show should always be insensitive, always be politically incorrect, and always in bad taste. After all, real opinions about real world issues usually are. So join me Sundays from noon to 2 on Winnipeg's Indie Station 92.9 KICK FM for the stories you want to talk about the way you want to talk about them. That's the Kenny Show.
I love you.
My name is Walt Lucci.
Oh, my!
KICK FM. Let's go. Saturdays.
Saturdays.
1 p.m. Retro Evolution. Retro Evolution. 80s.
Ooh, for something to hold. That's the power of life. Owner of the moon. Rolling to you.
92.9 KICK FM.
Beer for breakfast sucks. I mean, they got no stars, they got no hits, they play music I wouldn't take a to. They got these local guys I've never even heard of before, and they come into the studio all dressed up in their denim Value Village outfits, and they keep talking about these cool clubs they're playing at, and it's quite pathetic if you ask me. I also hear the host doesn't shower, but that's an FYI. Beer for Breakfast. It's where the crap begins.
Every Saturday from 10 to 1 on 92.9 Kick FM.
There's no time like the present to reserve your keg of locally brewed goodness from Half Pints Brewing Company. Whether you're having a spur-of-the-moment barbecue or a fancy-pants party, we've got you covered. Half Pints has four different beers and three different sizes of kegs to choose from, starting for less than $50. Pick up the phone and call 832-PINT or go online to halfpintsbrewing.com and place your order. Half Pints Brewing Company. Think local. Drink local.
We're back on the Illegal Curve Radio Show, September 8th, 2010. Wednesday evening here in Winnipeg. Kind of chilly already, and you know, September weather has not exactly been that friendly to us so far. The summer went quick, and the fall was already here. As
yeah, Richie, I just want to throw out there the people that are trying to listen on Ustream. I don't know if we're the Remus's computer just froze here,
so we
might not be on Ustream right now, but we're luckily on 92.9 Kick
FM. We're on live air anyways, and so we're now a pleasure to be joined by Shelley Anderson of the Pittsburgh Post Gazette. Shelley, how are you tonight?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. Happy to have you back on the show.
It's my pleasure.
Shelley, you know, the Penguins have had an interesting offseason, and I always find that the Penguins interesting just because of how many superstars are on the team, but especially so, I think, this offseason. If you had to give them a grade, and we'll talk kind of about specifics in a little bit, but if you have to give them a grade overall to Ray Shiro, you know, for the work he's done since the end of the season, what grade would you give him on an A through F curve?
You know, I'd have to give him a B. I've been pretty impressed. You have to throw in the caveat that he was not able to lure Sergei Gonchar back, and so you can't give him an A, I don't think. Just because on that basis alone, but I like the ideas that he's had, and I like what he's the way he's been able to implement some of his philosophies over the summer, and the way he's been able to fill in and do it under, you know, obviously some salary cap restrictions.
Sure is.
Shelley, next question here: why did the Penguins decide not to go with Billy Guerin? He, you know, he popped in 20 goals last year. Was this totally a numbers issue, or, you know, or was it partly Bill Guerin, you know, wanted to move on to another team?
Bill Guerin absolutely did not want to move on to another team. He was really hoping to come back here. But mm-hmm. there were some other factors at work. A lot of it was numbers. I think, you know, I've watched Ray Shiro enough over the past few years to know that one thing that he really does try to do is show a lot of respect to the veterans and the guys who've been around. And he would have had to go to Billy and say, you know, we'd like to have you back, but we're going to have to ask you to take a pretty big pay cut. And he'd already taken one a year ago. And I think if Bill was not the type, they never got around to actually talking money, and Bill was just probably not the type who was going to run to the Penguins and offer that kind of pay cut. Mm-hmm. So I think that given that and the fact that Ray was probably, you know, was going to avoid any kind of resentment in terms of asking him to take a pay cut, and the fact that, you know, from the time since Bill came to the Penguins a year ago March, they really matured. They won a Stanley Cup, and, you know, Sidney Crosby's a little bit older, and the core players are a little bit older. The leadership, and I don't want to say that his leadership was expendable, because he was certainly a good guy in the room, and even turning 40 could probably still get you 20 goals. But I think they thought that they could give up that leadership and go with some younger guys for the offensive pop, and go that route at this point with the older, more experienced younger players they have on the team.
You know, Shelley, the Penguins got younger even last week. You know, if you're considering kind of Mike Harmy signing to be a replacement for Guerin in some cases. Obviously, their games are quite different, and they're actually former teammates in Edmonton. But what did you make of the Mike Harmy signing for the NHL minimum?
You know, I think it's interesting. He had gone to the Penguins. They've been talking for a while. From what I understand, apparently Edmonton may have offered more money than the Penguins did. But even before that, he had offered to come in on a tryout basis with the Penguins for training camp, just to prove himself. This is where he wanted to be. And I think he decided that, you know, he was going to make it easy for the Penguins. And so he thought, you know, I'll offer for the minimum. How can they turn me down? And he was right. This is where he decided, you know, he went to the finals a couple of years ago and hasn't been to the playoffs since.
Right.
Edmonton's rebuilding. Who knows if they're going to make the playoffs? But I think he felt like this is a good shot. And you know, at this point, that seemed more important to him. So I thought that was interesting. And he seems to be very willing to play wherever they want him to play, whether it is a replacement for Guerin on a line with Sidney Crosby, or maybe a third line center if Jordan Staal's going to move up to one of the top two lines, something like that. Or, you know, if it doesn't work out, he can find himself down in the minor leagues or sitting as the 13th or 14th forward. And right now I think he's willing to come in and do what he has to do to prove himself and get one of those better spots.
You actually stole my next question there, because it's an interesting thing to talk about. Whether Comrie, who's generally who's been a natural center basically throughout his hockey career, whether he's going to be suited, you know, at least slotted into a wing spot with one of those two top centers, or if he's going to be asked to kind of play that third line role. Now, in my opinion, and I'm going to ask your opinion in a second, Shelley, in my opinion, Comrie's not really able or capable, really, to me, of playing that third line kind of checking center role. He really hasn't been a great defensive player, but he has a skill to either be kind of to play on the wing, possibly in the top two lines, or even be that fourth line winger or center who plays against the other team's fourth line. How do you personally see him playing out?
I could see him getting a shot playing on one of the top couple lines at winger. I mean, one of the things that the Penguins need, even though they've gotten some scoring from some of their wingers, and obviously they've lacked ever since Marian Hossa, they've really lacked the real good sniper type winger. But they don't have a finisher. You can put him on the wing, he's comfortable enough on the wing, he has played some there. You know, he can get himself into position and get open and look for one of those guys to put the puck on a stick. And if he can do that and he can finish, he'll be a pretty valuable addition, especially at the league minimum. That would be one of these incredible ratio steals if that's how it works out.
Which defenseman signing do you think will be more important to the Penguins, Zibanejad Mihalik or Paul Martin?
That's a tough question, having not seen them, not seen the pairings, not seen training camp. So it's really hard for me to say. The Penguins seem to be a little overloaded with some of the offensive guys, so you think maybe the defensive guys outside of Brooks Orpik are going to be important. But it's really hard for me to say. I'd rather withhold judgment until I get a chance to see some sort of chemistry with these guys, two main defensive signings they had coming in, who they're going to play with, how it's going to be used, who's going to be on the power play and where, and things like that. So it's really hard for me to say. I like the signings, but I'm not willing to quite say yet until I see a little bit more.
We can appreciate that. And Shelley, by the way, we're joined by Shelley Anderson of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Shelley, you alluded to it earlier about Sergei Gonchar, and how willing or how much did the team really want to sign him, and was there ever any serious consideration of going to that third year on the end of the contract?
Apparently not on a third year. I think that, and the Penguins have done this in the past, they've let guys walk. Darko Ruutu was a very popular guy, certainly not valuable in the Sergei Gonchar type of mold. A very popular guy, and the Penguins fans really wanted him here. They understand that he's a guy that they loved having on their team, and hey, this one, and have him play against the team at some point. And that third year with Ottawa was a difference maker. The Penguins sit down and they look at longer term with their core players and who's going to have to be re-signed and make more money down the road. Mm-hmm. And they decide what they can do. And they just decided they could not give Sergei Gonchar at his salary level and his age a third year. And, it was up to Sergei Gonchar's camp to decide. And that third year was important to him. So, I think they really did want him, but they let that be a business decision.
Yeah, look at the roster and the Penguins, and they're built like the old style, strong up the middle, strong in the back end, and the goalie that I've always had a place for. I think he's a terrific netminder, Marc-Andre Fleury. But you look at the wings, and we spoke about Comrie, but look at the roster right now, Shelley, and I see Chris Kunitz and Michael Rapp and Talbot and Kennedy and Comrie and Asham and Cook and Dupuis. And I mean, I personally don't see a first-line winger of the bunch. Do you see the team looking to add anything at the wing? I don't know really how they do so, but do you see them trying to add some more wingers or at least a scoring type before the season, or is Comrie kind of the last addition before training camp?
I'm not sure the salary cap allows them to do a whole lot more at this point. I think they're only about 1.2 under, and there's they want to leave some room for some injuries and things like that, and for some call-ups. There is one, their top offensive prospect, a kid named Eric Tangrady, is a big, big scoring winger type, big power forward type. If all things really work out, a Kevin Stevens mold, if people remember the early cup years for the Penguins, he may or may not be ready to stick right away. This is just his second year in pro. He did improve a lot and really grow a lot last season. He played one game with the Penguins, but he really had a pretty good season from start to finish. The improvement was pretty good. So, I mean, he's a prospect, whether that's now or later in the season or next season. And I think Chris Kunitz is, now that he'll finally maybe, they can hope be healthy. He had some issues all season last year. I think he's someone that can play with Sidney Crosby and be a top-line winger. beyond that, you're going to have some converted centers, I think, a lot of it. And I think that's why they're thinking of putting Stahl and Malkin on the same line.
Oh. So, Shelley, we wanted to ask you about the player that everyone always wants to talk about, and that's, of course, Sidney Crosby. You know, he's coming off a very good year.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously, a disappointing playoffs for the Penguins, but he's always produced. How is he? What's his focus level been like this year? Has he been focusing on any part of his game or any part of his training regime? Regime. You know, what does he want to get better at, as far as you've gathered? Is it face-offs?
Well, last year he basically dedicated the entire summer to face-offs. So
right.
What is it this summer?
That's a good question. We've all asked him that. We asked him that right after the season, and here and there as we've talked to him during the season. And I'm hoping to talk to him over the weekend or so and ask him again. But he hasn't alluded to a lot, and there's a couple of things. One he talked about a little bit was quickness, you know, that first step, just working a little bit on that explosiveness. You know, that's a minor thing, but not to him. He feels like that's something that could accelerate his game, and literally. And the other thing, when he was in town in late July for the Winter Classic press conference, it just seemed like he looked like he maybe was more cut, was maybe a little bit stronger. You know, it just worked on getting more, you know, lean muscle mass kind of thing, and so I'm wondering if maybe that he just used the off season to really do some extra, maybe some different type of training or more training, just to get himself into even that much more of be that much more of a physical specimen. I saw there was a small newspaper in Vail, Colorado, and apparently he was at a high altitude camp just over the holiday weekend here, and just training just at the high altitude. And so maybe there's some different training techniques that he was able to try, just to try and make himself better overall.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. He has a lot of Michael Jordan / Wayne Gretzky characteristics. I mean, the kid, he's under 24, and then just his willingness to get better. I mean, it must be a pleasure to, just in terms of, from your perspective, Shelley, it must be a pleasure to watch a player that talented not be complacent at all and just be willing and able to get better year after year.
Yeah, he's pretty impressive that way. I mean, you can just see the gears turning sometimes when he's just, you know, he looks at something and you can see when the improvement comes, and you can watch him practice and watch him work on those face-offs or watch him certain shots that he's working on constantly. And a lot of times if there's something that didn't work in the game the night before, you can see him out there and he'll stay extra working on that one thing, that one pass, that one shot, you know, and he'll recruit teammates to come and help him with it. I think it's kind of a, you know, it's that competitive thing, but it's just that, you know, I have to master this, that kind of thought process that drives him nuts. I think it's the same that you see with a lot of golfers who can't, you know, really want to, you know, they make that one real great shot and want to make it again, but he's at such a higher level than most athletes.
Sure.
For him, it's more fine-tuning, I guess.
Of course, many people obviously mentioned Crosby in the same breath as they mentioned Evgeny Malkin, and we'd be remiss if we didn't ask you about Malkin. I mean, are you, most people are expecting a bounce-back year from him. Is there anything you can provide kind of insight into that? Do you see him returning to his form of 2 years ago, or do you see last year maybe not being as much of an aberration as people think?
It's hard to say. I do think he disappears off to Russia for the offseason, and I just have no idea what he's been up to, or his frame of mind, or his training technique over the a bit longer offseason than he's had in the past couple of years. I'm one who subscribes in general to the fact that I think that the Penguins may have hit a bit of a wall emotionally and physically last year after those 2 long years. This is a team of players that really puts a lot into it. I mean, Sidney Crosby just sets that example with what he does and how, you know, the work ethic and how he approaches things, and so the rest of the team follows. And that, you know, I know they're young, but that really is a tough thing for a third year in a row or a fourth year in a row to keep going with the short summers and keep it that high intensity. And I think that the long off season might benefit of getting Malkin as much as anyone, because he just, before he came to the NHL, he came a little bit later. You know, wasn't 18, was a couple years older than that. He'd never played a season anywhere near as long as the regular season in the NHL. And then all of a sudden he's got 2 seasons where he's going all the way to the finals. So I think that took its toll on him, whether you want to make that excuse or not. And I think that he may benefit from a longer off season and just being refreshed. We'll see. Hopefully, for him.
We've got one last question for you here. I read this on your Pittsburgh Post-Gazette article today online, that individual tickets are going on sale on Friday. 2,000, right?
About 2,000 per game. They hold those back on purpose.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Try and give people a chance to get those.
Get the big season tickets. So we wanted to ask you a question. You know, this is going to be the first year, of course, for the Penguins playing in the Consol Energy Center. The Mellon Arena is no more. what's the vibe like around the arena? We wanted to ask you what the arena looks like and what has the reaction from the fans been to the arena?
It's been good. I mean, the fans haven't had a whole lot of chance. There have been a few concerts, and they've had a couple of open houses. And so I think people are really wanting to see what a Rocket hockey game is going to be like. And September 22nd is the first preseason game. But, you know, I'm impressed by a couple of different things. For one thing, when you really look at the whole thing, this was an arena built on a budget. They only had so much money. And anything that they went over, the Penguins were on the hook for, and they really had to stick to that. But if you go in there, it just doesn't seem like they cut corners. It's very good sight lines. One thing people are going to have to watch for is in the upper level of the two levels. Everyone goes walk down to their seat. That's just from the open concourses. You walk down to your seat, and there's some steep steps. I'm afraid the rose and beer might not, or a handful of nachos might not mix. but the payoff is that the seats are closer, and I think it's a really a more intimate setting than old Mellon Arena, which was, you know, had its balconies added as they went over the years, as opposed to them being planned from the beginning. But it's just, you know, there's just so many nice touches, even if it's just the wide concourses, you know, the much better concession stands and things like that. The scoreboard is you can't even compare. The video boards on the old one, it was sitting on the floor of Mellon Arena the last time I was in it. It was just sitting on the concrete floor, and I walked up to it and touched it, and it was, the screen was not much bigger than what a lot of people have in their homes now. And now you've got one that's huge. It's in HD. They've got the running boards along the edges of the concourse. I can't remember what they're called, but that just adds just the light that comes from them as they're showing different things and flashing different things. It just creates a much different atmosphere. Just makes you feel like there's an event going on. Even when I was in there and there was no event going on, but they were just running the video boards and things like that. I just think it's going to be a lot better. The acoustics are going to be much better. You know, this was designed with acoustics in mind, as opposed to that metal dome roof that they had, which just didn't have great acoustics to it. I mean, there's a lot to be said about Mellon Arena, but I think this was done really, really nicely, the Consol Energy Center.
Sounds like it's going to be an exciting year in Pittsburgh this coming year.
Well, we'll see what happens on the ice. That's the main point, right?
We will see what happens on the ice and hope to catch up with you sometime midseason. Shelley Anderson from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, thank you very much for your time tonight.
It's my pleasure. Anytime.
Appreciate it.
Thanks a lot.
Shelley Anderson, there you have it. We timed it just right, and we are going to break as...
Richie, I apologize to everyone who's trying to listen in on Ustream. By the way, Denise, I was trying to... It's tough, difficult for people to understand here. We do a lot of body language here on the Illegal Curve Show. I was trying to ask you if the video was up. I apologize, everyone on Ustream. The computer froze. I'm going to get it up.
Don't worry about it.
For after the commercial break, hopefully.
You're doing good. That was Shelley Anderson. Got always great insight from Shelley. She's one of my favorites in the business. She's as friendly as it gets, and she knows her stuff. So we'll take a break. We'll come back and talk about all the signings and non-signings so far coming up to the end of the summer. Summer's over, but coming up to the beginning of training camp, because these guys need to get into camp and get started here. You're listening to the Legal Curve Radio Show live on 92.9 KICK FM.
Ha-ha, I did it!
What?
I connected my proton accelerator to my hard drive, and now I can update my Facebook status without viewing all of the annoying ads. I'm a genius!
Or you could just join Winnipeggers.ca, Winnipeg's own social media website, and update your Facebook status right from your Winnipeggers account.
Oh.
That's right, Winnipeg. Go to Winnipeggers.ca and create your profile by logging in with your Facebook account. It's that easy. Plus, enjoy games, contests, and more. Yes, Winnipeg, this is your ultimate homepage.
Because Winnipeg, it's all about you.
Remember the weeknight replay, and now it starts 1 hour earlier. It starts at 10 p.m. weeknight, and now it's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and now Friday, 2-5, weeknight replay, Great Canadian, 10 p.m., Kick FM.
This is an important message for Manitoba drivers. Effective July 15th, you'll have to put down your handheld cell phone, and if there are children in your car, put out your cigarette. That's because changes to the Highway Traffic Act become law on July 15th. Once these changes take effect, if you talk, text, or email using a handheld cell phone or smartphone while you're driving, or smoke in the car with children under age 16 present, you'll be breaking the law. For more information, visit manitoba.ca. A message from the Manitoba government.
The Kick All Request Hour. Hi, I'm Denise, and I'll be taking your requests every Thursday from 3 to 4 at 780-KICK. That's 780-5425. This is your chance to hear what you want to hear. This.
Hey, I just came. It's a shrimp night.
Or that.
I mean, no one's gonna eat your eyes.
Or maybe you're more in the mood for this. Every Thursday from 3 to 4, right before the Great Canadian Talk Show, on Winnipeg's Indie Station, 92.9 KICK FM.
Are back for the third segment of the Illegal Curve Radio Show, live from 92.9 Studios in downtown Winnipeg. I'm Richard Pollock, filling in for Drew Mandel, joined in studio by Ezra Ginsberg and behind the glass by Denise Azat, as per usual. Ezzy?
We're back up on Ustream, baby.
There we go.
I apologize for the last 20 minutes.
Oh, you should have had it up earlier because Richard was dancing along.
Yeah, he had it up for me dancing. That's the thing, during the commercial there.
Actually, it's been up the entire time dancing and...
Well, you're putting up the headbanging music, so I was dancing before that to your commercial that you had. That was like the longest commercial ever, by the way.
That was great, Denise. That gave me time to get these...
There's longer than that.
I don't know if there's longer than that. That was like 2.5 minutes. I joke. If you just joined us, you missed Shelley Anderson of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, who joined us last segment to talk about the Penguins, Mike Comrie, Sidney Crosby, the signings of Zdeněk Mihajlík and Paul Martin. But you joined us at just the right time, because we're going to talk about the signings in the National Hockey League, or the reported possible signings and the non-signings. First, we will give out the phone number. If you want to give us a call, talk about anything hockey-related, you want to talk about Vancouver, or the Luongo issues we're going to be talking about soon, Toronto, you want to talk about your favorite team, you want to talk about anything you want to talk about, we are open for business. 780-5425 is the number. If you're calling from out of town, 204-780-5425. Denise will take your call. We'll get you right through. So let's get in, Izzy. And there's rumors that Bobby Ryan signed a deal in Anaheim, although those have been refuted by his agent, Don Meehan.
Right.
Larry Brooks first reported it. Don Meehan has refuted it. The terms of the deal were, I heard two reports. One was 5 years, $5 million per year, $25 million total. Mathematician there. Or 5 years, $5.5 million for a $27.5 million total. It's $5.5 million being the annual cap hit. I personally don't see it being $5.5 a year. And that's for the simple fact, and we talked about it last week with Dan Wood of the Anaheim Ducks Radio Network, a friend of this program. The fact is, Ryan Getzlaf and Corey Perry are signed through 2013 for $5.325 per year cap hit. Bobby Ryan is not yet in the class of those two players, and if he is, he's close, but he's certainly not better than those players, at least right now, and in my opinion, for Getzlaf, probably not ever going to be as good as Getzlaf. Can you make more money than those two players? It's the classic Lidstrom rule. I mentioned it last week. Lidstrom made, I think, 7.5 for Detroit, and nobody could make more than that, because nobody can make more than your best player. If that's the case here, I see Anaheim pushing for 5, obviously, because it's in their best interest, but just in general, for the locker room harmony, as opposed to the 5.5. I see $5 million being the deal that they're going to strike, or around there, or at least under 5.325, or at most in line with that number at the exact same amount. I can't see the deal being 5.5. I could very well be wrong. There are rumors as close to being done, if not done, but that has been refuted, and we'll wait on that. But Ezzy, at least it sounds like they're talking, and they're close to getting an agreement.
Right, and it's about time, really.
It is about time.
Why didn't they sign Bobby Ryan? Who else have they been signing? What's going on here?
I don't understand it either.
But I guess you know, Larry Brooks reported that, and it's not happening, but... makes sense to have him signed well in advance of training camp, but you'd have to think that Bobby Ryan was just their side was not willing to.
Training camp's what, a week away? Because there's an exhibition game in Winnipeg during our show in 2 weeks. So
2 weeks, yeah.
It's got to be a week away.
I think starts on the 17th for most teams,
okay,
right?
There you go.
Yep.
So the Bobby Ryan, that's a rumored report. We'll keep an eye on that one, see if it comes through at the by the end of the show. I think that'll be unlikely, But we'll talk about a couple other signings that we've seen, and we'll talk about Mike Comrie right now because we talked about Mike Comrie with Shelley Anderson, but I want to talk a little bit more about Mike Comrie, being that he's an interesting case. He had his old problems with Edmonton. He was actually, before he was traded to Philadelphia in the Jeff Wojtka deal coming back, I believe, he was actually offered, and they thought they had an agreement in place with Anaheim for Corey Perry. And Brian Murray, I think Edmonton backed out. I forget exactly what it was, but Corey Perry could have been an Oiler. Didn't happen, and that was obviously a deal that Edmonton wished it had made. Regardless, we're just getting into details there. Mike Comrie's kind of bounced around now. Phoenix, Philadelphia, back to Edmonton. Wherever it may be, he's a player who's, to me though, fits in well because he's cheap, first of all. So he's cheap, and second of all, most importantly, because he's skilled. Mike Comrie is a good stick handler, doesn't have a very good shot. He has very good hockey sense, pretty good passing hands. Sometimes I think he's too soft on the puck, and he's not that strong, and not great of a skater. But you know what? His mind allows him to keep up with others, and I think he can play with talented players. So I think the signing, I actually watched a fair amount of Edmonton games last year, and I thought Mike Comrie, when he was in the lineup, and there's many nights at the end of the season he wasn't in the lineup for whatever reason. When he was in the lineup, I thought he was one of the top four or five Oilers creating offense consistently. And I realized he was playing against, for a fair amount of the time, against lesser competition. But, Mike Comrie, to me, either he plays a role as a second, as a winger on a scoring line in the top two, and they can hide him a bit because he's pretty bad defensively. I don't see him as a third-line center. Or you play him in the fourth line. You play him against other teams' fourth lines, and he'll dominate other teams' fourth lines. He'll put up pretty good numbers in limited time. So the Mike Comrie signing, I think, has a lot of upside. And the downside, guys, again, 1 year. It's a one-year deal for minimum. There's really no downside. As Shelley Anderson just said last segment, he could end up in the minors. What's the worst that can happen? He ends up in the minors. The team eats $500,000. To me,
if he's healthy, he's not ending up in the minors. Though
I agree with you.
They don't have enough guys to bring up. But the problem is, he's a natural center who, yeah, he can play left wing. But the Penguins need probably three more guys of Comrie's ilk, which they don't have because all of their contracts are, sorry, all of their cap money is basically given to five guys,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. So those five guys being Malkin, Crosby, Mihalek, Staal, Martin, Fleury. Those are the five, those are that six guys, but that those are the six main guys, and they really don't have anybody else on the books for much money.
And Richie, we talked to Shelley Anderson about this, but in my opinion, you might agree with me. I think Mihalek is going to be the key guy there. Paul Martin,
I think,
never really amounted to a number one offensive defenseman in New Jersey. I mean, sure, he came under the wing of Scott Niedermeyer, but not everyone. I mean, this is something that comes up more so around the later on in the season, halfway through the season. A lot of times when we're going to have a huge NHL preview show coming up in about 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah, we're going to have that in 3 weeks. We'll talk. Well, go ahead, Yazzie. We'll talk about that after.
Oh, it's to be a Sergei Gonchar, to be a Scott Niedermeyer. I'm not talking about to be that quality, but to lead your team offensively like that is difficult. And I think Mihalek has probably a better chance of leading the team defensively, not necessarily putting up the Gonchar numbers. But I think Martin will probably he'll be a nice piece. But I think even Letang and Goligoski have more offensive upside than Paul Martin. Paul Martin,
interesting. I think you're right about that, Ezzy. I think you're on that.
He's not given enough credit for being good defensively. Actually, he's not overpowering, but he's a good defenseman.
I thought that the Devils, Team USA really missed him last year at the Olympics. I thought that was a very big loss for them because their defensive depth wasn't that strong. I thought he was certainly missed. If you want to get in on the 780-5425-204, 780-5425. Next signing, Freddie Modin, $800,000 in Atlanta. You know what? Freddie Modin I liked as a short-term pickup last year from LA because he's strong on the boards. He's not a great skater anymore. Wasn't the best ever, but he's got a really good shot. He's strong on the boards. He's got fairly good hands. He's willing to go to the net. He can do a lot of the things, and he played really well, I believe, with Michael Hanzus last year in the playoffs, if my memory serves me correct. $800,000 in this situation for Atlanta, very low risk. But the fact is, it is almost impossible to expect Freddie Modin to play in even close to an entire season now, Ezra, isn't it?
How many games did he play last year?
I'm checking that out right now. But, I mean, I think that Freddie Modin, I don't think he's played over 50 games in years. Here's the numbers.
It seems like Freddie Modin is always signed at this time in the summer. He's always signed 2 weeks before training
camp. You like how I toss a 50 games being the number?
Right on.
Last year he played 44, the year before 50, the year before 23. So in the last 3 years, he has not played over 50 games.
Sorry, Richie, I'm getting distracted by Carolyn Wozniacki here in the studio on TSN at the U.S. Open. No, by the way, I'm trying to get Ustream back on. It's off again. I'm sorry. I should be focusing on being a guest analyst,
okay,
Richie, not the E desk or R desk or H desk, okay, or whatever you want to call it. But
no desk tonight.
But in all honesty, though, yeah. Atlanta. Not everyone wants to go there. Kovalchuk was clear in that he wanted to get out of there. But Finneganov, a lot of guys want to get out of there. And the replacements that they make, fine, they're great, but. Like a lot of teams that are going to struggle, especially in that Eastern Conference, Rich, the Tampa Bay Lightning and Stevie Yzerman knows how to build a team. Yeah. Freddie Modine has had, you know, what he's in the 10th year of his career right now. He's had a great NHL career.
35 years old.
And, yeah, so he might have played more seasons than that, but my guess would be about 10 years. But on Atlanta, they signed Nigel Dawes today. Nigel Dawes is
two-way contract.
A very underrated two-way player. He's, you know, I mean, he's still young. I mean, I wouldn't write him off. He's bounced around a little bit off of Calgary, in New York.
If Nigel Dawes isn't scoring the way, he's not doing much for you.
Right.
He's got a good shot. He's not a bad skater, but he's not big. He's not big, and if he's not playing a top two line role, I feel like he has trouble fitting in.
He does.
That's why it's a two way deal, not a one way deal.
You know, you say a lot of guys like a Gionta or a Joey Mullen back in the day, their size didn't hurt them. Right. Nigel Dawes, his size does hurt
That's
him
right.
because he's not physical.
Also
a guy like Gionta actually will throw his body around. Joey Mullen, not so much, but guys like Theo, you know what I'm trying. You know,
I think
what
the
my
big
point
difference
is
even between all those players is the skill level. There is they're in a class, I think,
right
above.
Nigel Dawes is obviously probably not a first line guy, maybe not even a second line guy.
The problem is he needs to fit in a second line winger role, and if he's not fitting in that, he has a tough time finding a place. And the problem is, like last year in Calgary, when he went on a run of scoring, he also went on a run of like 19 games without a goal. And if you're not scoring, if your main feature of your game isn't scoring, and you're not scoring, you have a tough time making the lineup.
Right.
Just the fact that, you know, it's just the fact of the matter, as Drew would say.
Atlanta's going to have trouble with. I mean, Freddie Modine, you get him for a nice cap hit. Nigel Dawes, sign him to a 2 year deal. I mean, you're too young. You're Bergfors Little. I mean, we've talked about
Vander
the defense.
Kane. They have a lot of
good defense and all that. Yeah. But I mean, you're leaving way too much to be desired. You're basically putting out an entire team of second or third liners.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're going to really struggle. I mean, that's why New Jersey got Kovalchuk.
I really like their defense. And I wrote about it in the Puck Perspectives book, which is actually coming out in PDF, I think, today, and then it's coming out in book form next week, a little shameless self-promotion there. But Atlanta's got a nice future looking forward with Rick Dudley leading the way in a nice young defense. Your boy Johnny Oduya's there, as you have Zach Bogosian, who's going to be a stud, and then you have Tobias Enstrom, who's a really good player, and you still have Ron Hainsey, who's turned into a really good player, especially his years in Columbus really turned him into a good defensive player, when in Montreal he was lacking in the defensive area of his game. Andre Pavlovic, pretty good talent. You've added Dustin Byfuglien, and you added a veteran like Andrew Ladd, and you have some talent there. Freddie Modine's going to help in terms of a young team. He's got a championship ring from his years in Tampa Bay. He's got a gold medal from his experience with the Swedish Olympic team in 2006. The guy's a pretty good performer, put in the right situation. The problem is health. And if you're $800,000, though, what's the risk again, guys? One-year deal, $800,000. Not much risk. Another contract I want to talk about is Jeff Halpernes. So this was an interesting deal. Jeff Halpern signed by the Habs, 34-year-old Jeff Halpern, signed by the Habs for 1 year at $600,000. Again, $100,000 over the minimum. This is why there's a lot of unrest in the PA, because the guys at the bottom aren't getting anything, the middle guys aren't getting much anymore, and the top guys are getting their dough, and that's just the way the salary cap system works. And the money's getting paid out, just in a different way. Jeff Halpern signs for $100,000 over the minimum, which is interesting. I think the Habs signed him basically to fill the vacancy of Dominic Moore, who they acquired at this trade deadline last year for a second round pick, and then decided to sign in Tampa Bay, which I thought was a very shrewd move by first year general manager Steve Yzerman. So that's a replacement signing there. The differences between Moore and Halpern, and they're fairly significant. Moore's faster skater than Halpern. I'd say Halpern probably has better hands. Moore's a tremendous faceoff guy. Halpern is going to be able to help in that respect, but last year for Tampa Bay, aside from his small sample size time in L.A., Jeff Halpern won faceoffs 52% of the time. So He's going to be able to add a right-handed face-off presence there. I think his skill level, he really finished out the 2007-2008 season well in Tampa Bay, and then after that he really didn't seem to fit in. He got a lot of opportunity then, but he's a guy who's pretty, he can be rugged, he can be a, you know, probably a third or fourth line guy. It really depends, I think, on who he's playing with on the wings there. He can kill penalties, and he can add a little bit of offense. I don't mind the signing at all. Again, a one-year deal, $600,000. I think they're going to get bang for their buck there. I think they're going to get more than they pay out. It's going to be a value signing. I like that deal for Montreal. I think it adds depth. It certainly doesn't add size. He's not over 6 feet, but you know what? That team as a whole isn't a big team, and look what happened last year. They went to the conference finals, so how much is size an issue?
I still can't believe they got to the conference finals, the teams that they knocked off. Wow.
Isn't it? Yeah, it's interesting.
Washington and Pittsburgh get knocked off again. It's going to be it's probably going to be time to reevaluate how good that these teams think they are, because those two teams are going to finish 1-2 or 1-2-3 or somewhere in the top three, yep, in the East again this year. But I'm thinking again, and Richie, I'm very happy, okay, that the Devils got Kovalchuk. But when the Devils got Kovalchuk, and no Devils fan or anyone who is closely following the Devils can really argue with this, you know, Jacques Lemaire and Jamie Langenbrenner had some problems, but you have to build a team here, and Montreal. I mean, I can't remember who predicted Montreal, you know, making the conference finals or the playoffs for that matter.
Yeah.
But they really did a lot with, you know, no superstars.
Jordan Hogg goalie. Got a little lucky.
Right. And
they have talent, though.
They do. They do. And I think that with enough offensive talent, and you add, I mean, a guy like Jeff Halpern last year, or actually 2 years ago, you added Glenn Metropolit.
It's funny you mentioned that name because Metropolit and Moore, and they're hoping to kind of get a little bit of both from Halpern. If you look at the middle of the lineup, depending on if they play Lapierre at center or wing, if they do play Lapierre at center, they can go up the middle and go Gomez, Plekanec, Lapierre, and Halpern. It's a pretty solid middle core there. I think I'd be happy with that if I was in Montreal. I like Lapierre at center more than the wing, if he can, you know, he can become comfortable there. And I think that his speed and aggressiveness, and certainly is willing. Now, you also have Lars Eller, who's a natural center, I believe. He could play wing. I think they'll probably move him to the wing. It's interesting. Maybe they want to put him at center. They have options there, guys, and I think that they have a talented team. They only have one of their core players is over 30, right? Or their top forwards. I mean, a lot of them are kind of in their prime. Kassitsyn in 25, and Camilleri 28, and Plekanec 27. And, you know, so they've done a nice job there, and they have guys like Pouliot and Eller 23, 21. They're not that young. They certainly have an older defensive core, so they need to move forward here. But I think in talking with the Habs, I think you have to talk about Carey Price. And the Carey Price deal came through the wire just about after we came off the air last week. Carey Price, 2 years, $5.5 million. Ezzy, what do you think of that deal?
I'm just happy that they decided to go with one guy over the other. And I still think Carey Price was the right decision. Now that I think about it, I still can't believe some of these. It's ridiculous, Richie, how some of these guys are only getting signed now. Carey Price and Bobby Ryan. I mean, there's others still out there. I mean, but these are guys that they're young players. They're futures, yeah, of organizations, and it's a good deal. I was a little surprised that it was only 2 years.
Now, 2 years, I think, as he is the kind of deal these guys are signing, because the agent doesn't want a 1 year deal for his client, and the team doesn't want a 1 year deal. They want to see the compromise. You know, let's see what you can do in 2 years. If you're worth the money, we'll pay you in your prime. If you're not worth the money, we're not going to pay you. And I think the player says, I can prove myself. Give me 2 years to be comfortable. And the team says, okay, 2 years, we can deal with that fairly reasonable contract. We can probably get value for it in the second year and probably end up paying for it in the third and fourth if you end up re-signing.
And for who's Carey Price's agent?
I don't know who's Price's agent.
Crosby's agent, Pat Brisson, maybe not.
Sure.
But $2.5 million seems like a decent deal for Montreal and a good deal for him, considering that he was on a Ferris wheel last year with Halak playing 40 games, coming in, coming out. His numbers were terrible, and his confidence was shot last year.
He's making $1.5 million less than Halak, so. You can use that
2.25 per year, right?
Yeah, that's right. And Halleck's making 3.75 per year as a cap. So it's interesting there that you can use that money otherwise. And if Price can play the same level as Halleck, as many people believe that he can, and I'm actually one of those, then you're going to get some good value there. Plus, you can be able to sign guys like Halpern and give out, you know, deals to other players.
Remember when we were talking to Rusty, and we all agreed with him, and he said that they're going to overpay for Halak based on one season. And I don't know if that's going to be the case. But
well, they signed 4 years, but yeah.
Look at $3.75 million. It's a different time now. And, yep. You know, whether the salary cap goes up by $2 million or $4 million or whatever, it's just different now. Now, if you're going to pay your goalie $4 or $5 million, you better be sure that every single $1,000 of that is going to count because...
people don't overpay for goaltending anymore. Is what you're saying.
Exactly. Yeah. Why not bring up a younger guy? If you're gonna take a risk with that money, why not give a guy like Antti Niemi a chance? Chicago's proved that it works. Philly's proved that it works. So
you're exactly right.
It's a good deal. Price is right. That's pretty lame, but
I think it was pretty good. We have more to talk about in terms of signings here, so we're going to flow over into the next segment and talk about Roberto Luongo possibly giving up his captaincy. Thomas Cabrillet addressing his dad's comments. All of that and more. You're listening to the Legal Curve Radio Show live on 92.9 KICK FM.
This is 92.9 KICK FM.
CKIC FM, broadcasting live from Red River College in Winnipeg.
And on the MTS TV service at channel 724.
92.9 KICK FM, Winnipeg's indie station.
Illegal cigarettes are becoming a problem in Manitoba. Their sale is adding up to huge losses in tax revenue. This revenue funds social programs such as health care and education.
Legal cigarettes carry a gray tax paid label or a gray tear opening strip. The ingredients are genuine and confirmed through quality control. There is no guarantee as to the contents of illegal cigarettes. Possession of illegal cigarettes will result in the forfeiture of the product, a mandatory 3x tax penalty, in addition to any court-administered action. Winnipeg Crime Stoppers is offering a cash reward for information leading to the recovery of illegal cigarettes or the arrest of any suspect in possession of these contraband products.
If you have information on this or any other unsolved crime in Winnipeg, call Winnipeg Crime Stoppers at 786-TIPS or leave us a secure tip online at winnipegcrimestoppers.org or text TIP170 plus your tip to Crimes. Callers never have to reveal their identity and may be eligible for a cash reward of up to $2,000.
Located in the heart of the Exchange District, the Princess Street campus of Red River College remains a marvel of the downtown landscape, featuring a blend of the past and the future. If you want to hold a meeting, workshop, conference, video conference, take wedding photos, or have a photo shoot, consider the Princess Street campus, a unique location that can meet your needs. Our Foley Studio is a 294-square-foot professionally designed recording studio with up to 12 sources connected to a Sony digital mixer. Recording is done to a DigiDesign Pro Tools HD multi-track recording system running on a Macintosh G5. The studio is equipped to produce a full multi-channel 5.1 surround program as a finished product. The CanWest Global Television Studio features a full lighting grid with approximately 20,000 watts of lighting. There are 3 pedestal mount video cameras. Portable cameras are also available and all connected to a digital video switcher. For audio, there are multiple inputs around the studio, terminating at a Sony digital mixer. Program material can be recorded to DV cam tape or directly to a Mac Pro running Final Cut Pro. For more information on facility rentals at the Princess Street campus of Red River College, or to make a booking, call Krista at 949-8337. 92.9 KICK FM introduces the Aboriginal Student Support Services at Red River College, a service offered by the college's School of Indigenous Education for Aboriginal learners at Red River College. This is an important component of the RRC experience for many Aboriginal students, as the support offered by the center is very personal and caring. It includes access to Aboriginal elders and residents, as well as one-on-one support, kitchen facilities, computer lab, and other programming. For more information, go to www.rrc.ca/aboriginal-education.
Tired of the same old one-word homepage?
Aw, look, honey. The letter O's are little turtles today.
Help me.
Then it's time you checked out winnipeggers.ca, Winnipeg's very own social media website. Get connected with other Winnipeg people, post a video, or play any of the 4,000 games on the site. You can even check out the latest celebrity gossip.
Like, I totally can't believe she's wearing that.
Yes, Winnipeg, this is your ultimate homepage, winnipeggers.ca.
Because Winnipeg, it's all about you.
We're back on the Illegal Curve Radio Show for September 8th, 2010, Wednesday evening here in the downtown KICK FM studio. I am Richard Pollack, filling in the host seat for Drew Mandel, although I am usually here just sitting to my left, as Drew would say, joined by Ezzy Ginsberg in studio. Denise is at behind the glass.
Richie, I can't believe how quickly you ran back from the bathroom there.
You like that?
Wow.
Well, I guess I need to throw another break there just to make sure I didn't want to, you know, cut it too close. Denise, your thoughts?
That was all good. You came in right on time.
You were impressed, eh?
Yes, I was very impressed.
Oh, that's good, you know. Denise, by the way, thanks for doing a great job tonight as usual. Ezzy, how's the Ustream chat going or anything going?
It's about to be back up. Once again, this computer's crashed, and it's probably because I'm doing something wrong here, like having too many windows open, but we'll be right back up in about 30 seconds, so...
Stay patient. If you want to get in on this conversation at all, talk anything hockey, 780-5425. If you're outside of the Winnipeg city limits, 204-780-5425. The last segment we talked a lot about signings. There's been a lot of signings. And you know what I've loved actually about the cap system? There's always a ton of signings during the offseason, and they kind of have been strung along until basically training camp. And that gets us more to talk about during the summer. During the summer, we have had certainly... no loss of things to talk about. There's always been news, which is terrific. At least for this program, it's terrific. Maybe not for agents. Sometimes they don't get time off, but what do we care? You know, this is what really matters here. The contracts that have been signed, we talked about basically all the significant ones, except for one, Chris Stewart, signing in Colorado for 2 years and worth $6 million bucks total, which ends up being $3 million in the cap hit. And Chris Stewart, power forward, guys. Very, very, very good young player with a lot of upside. He's got a good shot. So a lot of offensive talent, Ezzy. And I think when you look at Chris Stewart signing a deal for $3 million, sorry, $2.5 the first year, $3.25 the second year, as per NHL numbers, a $2.875 million cap at 22 years old with basically the sky's the limit for this guy. I also, let me mention, the guy who has certainly fallen under the radar, especially playing in Colorado, which was once the haven for Sakic, Forsberg, and Bork, and Foote, and Patrick Waugh, and whoever else you want to throw in there, Tanguay during those days. Not many guys that get talked about out of Colorado now, so I think he's, you know, aside from Paul Stastny, who I think is head and above the best player in that team, I think Chris Stewart is, you know, maybe not even arguably, probably the second best forward on that squad.
Really? And you're going to give him that title right off the bat?
Well, Matt Duchene's going to pass him eventually, but right now, today, yeah. And Chris Stewart's got great value, guys. 2.875 per year on his second deal. I like that. I like that signing a lot. Greg Sherman's done a nice under-the-radar job, although he's become less under-the-radar after the Avalanche's success last year. Unexpected success, mind you. But I think that's something that should be... a note should be taken there, because I think that Chris Stewart is going to outperform that contract. And the risk, again, it's, you know, as you mentioned it, the two-year deal. It takes him into his RFA year, not into the UFA year, because he's only 22 right now. But there's a risk there for the team that he just becomes a dominant power forward. There's also a risk for Chris Stewart that, 2 years from now, he's not the player he thought he was going to be.
Did Stewart step out of the AHL, or did he come right out of college?
I believe that's a great question. You want to check into that? I thought he played some time in the AHL.
Do we want to risk the computer crashing? I don't know. I'm not as good as Remus, but... if he did come right out of college, then he put up huge numbers because, you know, on Cali
he was
on Cali for a couple.
I thought he was in the oh.
Oh, was he in the O? Well, I thought he was. I thought he went to Denver or something like that. I could be completely wrong. I don't know.
I'll tell you right now, Chris Stewart. You're making me search and host. Look at this, multitasking.
Welcome to my world, man. I've had to take the battery out of this laptop for Jeebus sakes.
Okay, Toronto. All right, he's an 18th overall selection in the 2006 draft. He knew he was a first-round pick. Scored 28 goals last year. Again, great hands, great, really good player. He played Lake Erie last year, so I was right. He played in Lake Erie for the Lake Erie Monsters in the AHL for his 2007-2008 year, and he played in the O before that, so I was right. Luckily, didn't embarrass myself. I thought he was an O player. He played in the O for Kingston, and then he played a couple of games in the 2006-2007 season for Albany and then played in Lake Erie. He played a year in the AHL, scored 25 goals, and then made the leap. 2 years ago, had a little bit of trouble making the adjustment, and then last year he was a plus player, although the plus-minus stat is certainly flawed, a plus player on an Avalanche team that a lot of players weren't plus, and scored 28 goals and had 64 points.
Think Cauley's a playoff team this year?
No, I don't. I don't think so. I mean, obviously...
They tailed off big time, and a lot of people were obviously surprised last year, but they tailed off big time, and they weren't very, very scary in the playoffs.
You know, you threw that to me, and the more I think about it, I mean, I think that the division that'll take their spots there would be the Central Division. I think that... St. Louis probably pops back in there, and I think it's going to be trouble for a team. Also, a team like Columbus is going to certainly be better, I think. Colorado might make the playoffs, but they're going to have their hands full, and I don't see them being any more than a 7 or 8 seed at most.
Yeah.
Because Edmonton's going to be bad again.
That's where they ended up last year, right? Eight. Calgary was chasing Cauley towards the end there.
I think the team actually in the worst shape. I know people are getting on Dallas. I think this thing has Dallas a lot of talent. I think the team in the worst shape in the Western Conference right now.
Calgary.
Well, no, you know, maybe down the road.
Worst shape.
Minnesota Wild right now.
Yeah, wow.
You know? Where's the hope there? They have an old team. If you want to get in on the 780-5425, 204-780-5425. They have an old team. Not a ton of prospects coming through the system. And we should mention James Sheppard, one of their top prospects. I don't know if he's considered a prospect anymore. Remy or Remus would argue that he was. But James Sheppard riding an ATV, which very well could be a violation of his contract, gets injured and is out for 4 months. If you're scoring single-digit goals, playing in a ton of games last year, and playing pretty important minutes at some points in time, and you're putting up, I think, around five goals last year, and you're riding your ATV, very dangerous. I don't know how he's riding that when he's got an NHL contract out there. You're riding an ATV, and then you get injured, and you're out for 4 months. Can you look at your teammates in the eye?
Was it Uwe Krupp, pardon me, who injured himself bobsledding?
I don't know what it was.
There was somebody on Colorado, I think, or Florida, who injured themselves bobsledding, and this huge debate came up about it. Might have been Krupp. Came up. Obviously, this is horrible for Sheppard in the Wild because Sheppard hasn't worked out. I think we were talking about his point total last year. What was it, 15 or something?
I think it was
really bad. Plus minus was bad. Something like ATVing though, Richie. That's a little bit different. Bobsledding, that's a different sport. ATVing, I mean, a lot of people do that as a main mode of transportation out in the country.
James Sheppard, you want to hear his totals? My God. You know, for
maybe not a main, hold on. The people living in rural Manitoba are going to get a little bit mad about that. Obviously, people in rural Manitoba have cars. What I meant was a lot of people ATV.
Yeah, boot it off the air.
On a daily basis. Anyways, okay. Richie, I'm
top 10 pick in 06. As you want to hear his goal total. I'm going to give you his game play totals and his goal totals after.
He had big trouble last year.
2007, 2008, 78 games played, 4 goals. Wow. 2008, 2009. 82 games played.
His dad's Ray Sheppard. He was a sniper.
5 goals. Is his dad Ray Sheppard?
I think so, isn't it?
I don't think so.
No relation?
Maybe. I don't know.
I thought his dad was Ray Sheppard.
It could be. 2009, 2010, 64 games, 2 goals. Man, the guy has 11 goals in 224 career games. I mean, that's... Ty Domi would get more goals than that, not out of ice time. So, James Sheppard's career, I mean, remember, he's only 22, but he's played 3 years in the Wild. The Wild, both coaches haven't liked him.
Three and a half years max this year.
Both, yeah, exactly. Both coaches haven't liked him. I see Minnesota probably getting, he's going to be an RFA. I see Minnesota trading him, but how much will they get for him? Minnesota's ninth overall pick in 06 is going to essentially get nothing for him, probably. And that's a shame. And there's been a lot of arguments about Sheppard and his willingness to compete in the corners and all that jazz. He has a lot of talent, but I mean, this is an irresponsible move by him, and it's going to hurt him. I think long distance in terms of, it's going to hurt him not only this year, but as a result of this year, it's going to hurt him because his production is going to be cut in half. As a result of that, he's going to make very little money on his next contract, and James Sheppard has cost himself probably a lot of money because of this, or at least the possibility of a lot of money. Maybe he wouldn't have played well, but at least the possibility. And with that, he's going to certainly regret riding on the ATV, I guess probably carelessly. And if not, even so, that's a risk that you're probably not, shouldn't be incurring, especially when you're expected to make $800,000 in the following season.
His trade value will definitely be low.
Yeah, not that it was high before,
I think a change of scenery for him will be good. Benoit Pouliot, when he went to Montreal, was you know, lighting it up after struggling for most of his career, his young career. And same thing with the tenderness, La Tendresse. In Montreal, he came in with a bang, and then he struggled a little bit. When Sheppard comes back, you know, maybe he'll work out, but a change of scenery for someone like that who struggles early on in their career. Same thing, a lot of these guys that, I mean, you know, we're not going to get into how tough it is to be, you know, a very successful NHLer when you have expectations set upon you,
of course,
which sometimes fizzle out. But Gilbert Brulé, Richie, is another guy. He had a good season last year. And on Colorado, Columbus, I meant to say, you know, he was toiling around in the AHL and, you know, playing decent some weeks, and you know, same thing with Sheppard, injury aside.
I mean, he's been opportunity to play a lot, and he hasn't produced any. I realize he's young, but I mean, that's very little production from a guy that has the talent to obviously be more productive than that. As I want to ask you quickly about two things. I mentioned it. It came on the wire right now. Roberto Luongo, the Canucks are set to meet with him to talk about his captaincy. Do you foresee him giving up the captaincy? Do you see the team asking him to give it up? How do you see that working out?
You know, you mentioned this off-air, Richie. I didn't know about this. The whole Luongo captaincy thing to me is...
Always odd, wasn't it?
It's a mystery. You know, is he not the first goalie to ever be a captain in the NHL?
There was once in, like, 1900.
Okay.
Yeah.
So first off, you're going out on a limb here. You've already signed him to, what did he sign, a six-year deal?
No. He signed, like, a
10-year deal?
He's signed through, like, 2400.
Okay. 12-year deal, whatever. They signed him to a decade. He's the goalie. They made the big trade, and he's their goalie. And I didn't understand
Luongo
at the time why he needed the...
22, as he, no joke.
Why
2040, I could have...
Oh, so it was a 12-year deal.
Yeah,
okay.
Impossible.
I guess he originally signed... Well, he was originally under a five-year deal or something.
I'm going to say this. I think that part of the reason for naming him captain was to have him resign. And funny enough, they named him captain, I think, partly to get him to resign. He resigns. It ends up being a deal that, considering the goalie market right now, they probably don't want him on that contract. In fact, they almost certainly don't want him on that contract, although he's still a great goaltender. And now I don't think they're asking to take it away because they signed him and they don't want to sign him. I don't think that's a factor at all. I think it's a lot of pressure playing in Vancouver. A lot of pressure. And I think he's obviously feeling that a lot. And I think that taking the captaincy away from him still leaves a lot of pressure on his shoulders, but not some unnecessary pressure. Give the captaincy to a guy like Ryan Kessler, you know? He's expected to contribute in a lot of different areas, seems to really, really, really step up to the moment, and he seems to like to engage the media. And Luongo seems to get fed up with them. And I think Kessler's probably more suited to be the captain of that team. I think it's his time. And I think that maybe it's more so that Kessler's ready for it than it is Luongo needs to give it up.
I would agree with everything you said. I mean, remember last year, it was all about Olympic year, and, you know, is Luongo going to be able to handle a plane in front of Vancouver? Obviously, he became the number one goalie, and he proved that he can. You know what? I'm not going to say that I think Vancouver is going to win the Cup next year or the year after. We'll get into that closer to when the season starts and you know, all the rosters are set in stone. But I think Luongo is going to get his Cup. And I'm not going to say that it's going to happen this year or next year. He's just too good. He's too good of a goalie. And numbers aside, he's got the defense in front of him. He's had no problems with a no-name defense, and this year they've added good pieces of the puzzle.
Sure have.
So,
I think they're the best team in the Western Conference. I think they're the team to beat, and with that expectation on upon their shoulders, which I think many people will probably be picking them. I think with those expectations come a lot of press and a lot of publicity, and I think they don't need to put any more undue pressure on Roberto Luongo. Let him be himself. Let him just play net and take the captaincy away from him. It's not a logical fit. First of all, the captain can't even go talk to the refs when they're in the middle of the ice, so really it doesn't even make sense logically. Give it to Kessler. Make your team go through Kessler.
I like the
sign him
Kessler.
You sign him to an extension, so you have him through 2016.
Yeah.
You know, he's young. He's 25. He can be the centerpiece for a long time. I like that. I think do it that way.
It probably would have been Willie Mitchell if they kept him, right?
Yeah, very possibly. Good point there. As he quickly, before the break, let's quickly get this in. Thomas Cavalier is saying the comments his dad made about Ron Wilson have no factor in anything that's going on with him. Is there anything to make of that, or is it just more of the Leafs media hype going through the roof?
Wasn't there a story today about how the Leafs are signed someone who was suspended in the OHL?
Yeah, I was going to actually talk about that. It was the player who hit the guy from behind the net. I think his name is Liambis. I forget his exact name. He played for either the Otters. Michael Liambis, whatever the name is.
Maybe that's a little bit more newsworthy. This is at the time was not newsworthy, but I mean,
well, you know, this is what
is it going to end with Cabrera?
This is what Cabrera said. My father's opinion I can't control. He told the scrum at the team's practice facility as per TSN. You know what? That's true. He can't control his dad's opinion. We all know what his dad said is probably accurate. And at the end of the day, they're going to eventually try and trade him.
Right. So he might have said that. Now he's playing a little bit of the PR game.
Yeah,
but
I guess so.
I really. This stuff has no relevance to anything. I mean, obviously, it matters if it's affecting where he wants to be, but Caberle hasn't said anything at any point. Like, remember last year, it was, do you want to be traded? No, I want to stay in Toronto. This year, do you want to be traded? No, I want to stay in Toronto. Oh, but the media in Toronto now is bringing out Caberle's dad's comments. Who cares?
Yeah, who cares? I agree. I concur with that. We're up against it, 8:18 Central Time in Winnipeg. You're listening to the Legal Curve Radio Show live on 92.9 KICK FM.
My name is Walt Lucci.
Oh, my!
Kick FM. Let's go. Saturdays. 1 p.m. Retro Evolution. Retro Evolution. 80s. 80s.
Ooh, for something to hold. That's the power of life. Owner of the moon.
92.9 Kick FM.
The Kick All Request Hour. Hi, I'm Denise, and I'll be taking your requests every Thursday from 3 to 4 at 780 Kick. That's 780-5425. This is your chance to hear what you want to hear. This.
Hey, I just came. It's a shame night.
Or that.
I mean, no one's gonna eat your eyes.
Or maybe you're more in the mood for this. Every Thursday from 3 to 4, right before the Great Canadian Talk Show, on Winnipeg's Indie Station, 92.9 Kick FM.
Hey, it's me, Barrett, with 360winnipeg.ca, and I want to tell you about the 360 Degrees of Summer Contest. What you need to do is send us your best video or photo montage of your summer action and qualify to be one of Winnipeg's five best summer moments. Maybe even the grand prize winner for the very best voted on by you, the 360 Winnipeg faithful and the listeners of Kick FM. We will be selecting the top five summer moments from our entries. Four will receive a $200 consolation prize, with the grand prize winner receiving a $2,000 prize package from some of Winnipeg's best purveyors of summer. This includes Gord's Cycle and Ski, GNR Camping World, Aquatech, Booster Deuce, and many, many more. That's 360 degrees of summer only on 360winnipeg.ca.
Every Monday, the Great Canadian Talk Show talks sport. Frank the Italian Barber.
That coach should be fired. I'm a better goalie than that.
He should be sitting on the bench.
That's why they need a little trip.
Don't miss us every Monday.
I'll be here every Monday, that's for sure.
I may suggest this. That the children out there watching, they don't apply this to one another because it could cause permanent brain damage. Same goes for the old ladies and everybody else out there. It's nothing to play with.
5:15 on the Great Canadian Talk Show on 92.9 Kick FM.
We are back on the Illegal Curve Radio Show. We're getting calls in the studio for Denise. She's a big shot, getting personal calls.
What's that, Denise?
Wow, big shot here. Denise, are you getting private calls?
Setting that up a couple Marty dates Gold for later or what?
From the Great Keen Talk Show.
That was Marty. What did Marty want?
Personal or private?
I'm kidding. Okay, I don't want to know what Marty wants. Personal.
What's
or private?
Happening? Are you guys hitting up the zoo tonight or what?
No.
Is he inviting you to Rosh Hashanah dinner?
He was asking me about the commercial block that I just played.
It wasn't good, didn't cut it.
No, there's something that's not supposed to be in the log, and it's sitting there, and he's not... Well, he wants me to get rid of it, so...
Hey, at least it's good to know that Marty listens to us, right?
Oh, for sure.
Every once in a while.
Every once in a while, Marty tunes in. I like that. He's a loyal guy. Denise, you ready for news and notes? You need some time because of Marty's call.
Because you said you had that video that...
Oh, that's
play
for rapid fire.
That's for rapid fire?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I am ready for news and notes.
Let's do it.
NHL. News and notes.
All right.
As earlier this week, Mark Savard was told by the Bruins that they're not going to trade him. And there's been much talk about it. And actually, I think it's the most logical move is to trade Mark Savard if there's a market for him. They told him they're not going to trade him and he's going to be a Bruin. What do you think of that?
I really hope that they don't trade him because that'll make them be liar, liar, pants on fire. But
not the first time in the NHL they'd be a liar, liar, pants on fire, though.
Hey, the speculation is that they'll have to move him. I guess that's good for him. I mean, he wants to play there. He wants to stay there. Why wouldn't he? The team is, you know, looking to be back in good form with Seguin back, but it's probably going to kind of do his ice time. But
yeah, I mean,
it's good to know that they're not shopping him right before training camp, right?
That's to me though. I think they have shopped him. I have to guess they have shopped him. I mean, you have the strength at the middle. We've talked about it on the show many times before. Marc Savard, Patrice Bergeron, David Krejci, who I really like. I like Krejci actually more than I like Bergeron, and then Tyler Seguin. I mean, you have four guys. I mean, if you're going to put Seguin in the minors, it makes sense. If you're not going to put Seguin, in the CHL, then, you know, where's the space for them? I mean, sure, you can accommodate all of them, but you do have a hole on defense, I think, and if you wanted to address that and still have strength at the middle, you could do that. Maybe down the road they trade Bergeron. I've heard a little bit about that. Bergeron hopes to stay there, but he might be dealt. But Bergeron, and you know what? The thing is, Ezzy, it's interesting. Bergeron and Savard both have concussion issues in the past, and who do you want to take a risk on? I mean, you probably want to take a risk on the younger player, so maybe Bergeron's a guy they deal, or maybe they don't deal anybody. But I still think there's a deal in place that's going to come down before the trade deadline, because they have too much depth up front, and they could use a guy on the back end.
It's going to be shocking if they're in a nice playoff position and they drop Savard. But
I think they win the division there, by the way, but we'll talk about predictions on our previous show.
He has to go west. They have to trade him west.
Very possible.
There's no way they're trading him to an Atlantic Division team, or especially a team within their own division, the Northeast Division. No. You just can't. You can't.
I agree.
You can't trade Mark Savard and then end up playing him in the second round, right?
Good point. Quebec City. Interesting topic here. You know, there's rumors they're going to come into there and they're going to put up an arena and get a team. We talked about it on Marty's show. I was on there briefly tonight on Marty's show, talking about the Quebec City and possibly them coming into the NHL along with the Winnipeg.
They're definitely getting an arena. It's just a question of how much it's going to cost and when they're getting it.
That's what we're going to talk about.
The Colisée say is apparently 61 years old, which is ridiculous.
The Globe Mail today reporting, Sean Gordon, a guest on the show numerous times, is reporting along with another writer. I forget. I have his name right here. Hold on a second. Let me pull it up so I don't... Not to give him the due credit, his name is Real Sagan, another Sagan. and Sean Gordon had an article today, and they said in this article, quote, the federal government is being asked to pay 45% of the price tag for a new arena in Quebec City. About $180 million they're asked to pay, and that could bring the NHL back to Quebec City. That's the main quote. There's a number of other quotes. Pressure intensified on Ottawa after the provincial government announced its pledge Tuesday to fund 45% of the project. That's the main news there, right? The provincial government has said they're going to fund 45% of this project. That's a heck of a lot of money. The other 45%, they're asking the federal government to pay. Now, Ezzy, clear up this issue here for our listeners. The federal government commented on this report and said what?
Well, the article that appeared online on the Globe and Mail website said that the federal government is interested in funding this project, but if you read the quote, it was very interesting looking into this funding this project, which means nothing really. That's rhetorical.
Now, if you're in math, if you're a math guy, you realize that 45% of 45% equals 90%, not 100%. The other 10% would be funded by the municipality. So right there, I mean, there's no private money going into this possible arena, which, I mean, I'll let the Quebec City taxpayers complain about that. But Premier Jean Charest has said that it'll be economically viable. And I think the key part in the article was, and I agree with this part, with the arena, projected revenue of the city would go up by, I think, almost $100 million or more. And I think that an arena in the city, like we've seen in Winnipeg here, brings concerts, brings a lot of talent, and I think brings a lot of revenue, creates jobs, creates excitement, brings restaurants, brings stores. And I think that the other benefits of having that arena in terms of the economy, I think, are not to be understated. And so I think in this instance, Quebec City, I'm hoping, gets the arena. Now, I think the taxpayers might have something to say about that. More so, though, maybe in the federal taxpayers, Ezzy. What's your take on the feds being asked to fund 45% of this project?
I don't remember the federal government chipping in a cent for the MTS Center.
I don't believe they did. There
was some money from the city and some money from the province, but True North put up all the money for the MTS Center. And I believe, unless I'm wrong, every single arena in Canada, every new arena has been void of any federal money.
And that was the thing, as you remember, Montreal put out that big arena, the Bell Center, Molson Center, all whatever it is now. Wasn't a big issue in Montreal the fact that it was, I think, privately funded for the most part, and they went into big debt to actually pay that arena off? That was an interesting one. So the feds getting involved here. Now, maybe the feds see it as an economic benefit for the city of Quebec, for the city of Quebec City, sounds redundant, to have this arena there. I mean, I think overall for the city, it makes a lot of sense, but should we, as federal taxpayers, be footing the bill for Quebec City is a question that I think garners a lot of, you know, back and forth in terms of opinion on that.
Well, Richie, the article that was posted up on the Globe and Mail this afternoon, the second article, there was another article that...
Give our listeners a little idea of what's in the second article.
I can't tell you who wrote the article, but the article that basically followed up the first article, which broke the news that Quebec Premier Jean Charest and Quebec City Mayor, I believe his name is Lebaume, Reggie Label.
You have the French background here, so.
Yeah, I don't speak a very good French, but when the first story broke out that they were trying to pressure the federal government, another article came out today that quoted a couple of economists and a couple of groups that are lobbying for this arena in Quebec City. They said that this arena could contribute to the economy with X amount of dollars per year based on its multi-use functions. Like you just mentioned, Richie, mm-hmm. concerts are huge. The MTS Center is the third most popular arena in Canada, which is surprising in a small little town like Winnipeg. But
not so small.
The huge thing here that I think will factor in to the argument for federal, obviously this is a political issue, but if we're talking economics, if it's going to host the Olympics, then you know the federal government should definitely jump in here.
I agree.
And Quebec City, it would be awesome if they hosted the Olympics.
I'm not so sure I do agree, though, somewhat in terms of the Olympic thing, but there's lots of arguments that the Olympics actually end up hurting the economy in the end, not helping. We'll leave that debate for another day, because we're certainly going to be talking about it in the future. Next topic, Jonathan Chichu was invited to Stars Camp as he... I mean, this is not rapid fire, so I'm not just going to pose quick questions here, but I mean, Jonathan Chichu has certainly can't skate like he once did, and he couldn't skate very well to begin with. He's not a talent like he once was. He's not the player that sniped 56 goals, I believe, with Joe Thornton.
Why isn't he that player? Because Cheech, I was so happy when... I felt so good for Cheech when he popped in 56 goals. Yeah, he was playing with Joe Thornton. So
knee troubles is the main thing.
But he wasn't a slouch in junior hockey, and he wasn't an offensive player. But last year, I mean, he ended up in the AHL at one point.
Yeah, you know, his knees are bad, and he can't skate like he once did, and he couldn't really skate. So if he's not sniping goals and getting to the spots he needs, he was a guy, like Brett Hull asked, he needed to get to open spots.
Yep.
And if he wasn't able, in terms of his skating, to get to those open spots, he really wasn't a great player, because he's not a great passer. He's got a really good shot. He's not a great passer. He's not a great skater. So he's not going to create plays for himself. And if he can't get to the spots to be able to have plays created for him, he can't produce at the NHL level, and that leads him to be an NHL player.
Why wasn't Ray Shiro going after... I mean, wouldn't Jonathan Chichu look good on a line with Crosby?
Let's ask this, Ezzy. If you can't score playing beside Joe Thornton, which he couldn't after the injury, and you can't score playing beside Jason Spezza, can you score beside anybody?
That's true. I mean, he was given a chance.
And Joe Thornton are similar in that they can bring the play back to you, and you don't need to keep up with them in terms of skating, because they're both not the best skaters in the world.
Yep.
Maybe I'm wrong in terms of him fitting in with Crosby. Maybe his Crosby speed up ice would help him draw attention to Crosby, and he could trail the play. But I thought that Chichu's game was more suited to the one-timers from maybe stagnant spots, in terms of Spezza and Thornton standing behind the goal line and passing pucks out. I think without that, I don't think he really fits into any other scheme. In terms of Montreal, in terms of Dallas, I mean, Ribeiro's on the way out probably. Now, Bad Richards is a great passer, but again, not as good of a passer as Jason Spezza, or not any better than Jason Spezza and Joe Thornton. I don't think he's as good anyways, but... You know, where is the end game? I think that he's invited there. I see a very slim chance he makes the team, especially because they're probably in the middle of a youth movement here. So I don't see Chichu making it. But I certainly give Joe Nunez credit for giving the guy a chance. I mean, he deserves a chance. He's as much as I've heard about the guy, he's as good of a guy as you're going to meet out there. So good luck to him. But I don't see him making that team.
I hope he makes the team.
Exactly.
I mean, you'd know better than me if he has a decent shot at making the team, but. I hope he makes the team. Maybe his legs are a little bit better. But this is probably one of the last shots in the NHL for him.
I agree. It might be his last one. I hope it's not, but it might be his last one. Ezzy, I want to talk a little about the Devils. We talked about it before. Brian Rolston. Do you think there's any chance at all they can get rid of this guy without giving up a prospect like Zarkov or a prospect like or a player like David Clarkson? Is there any possibility they can do that?
They have more depth on forward, that's for sure. So if they don't and they have to trade a defenseman, it's not going to be good for anybody. If they have to trade, we had Rich Shearer on the program two weeks ago.
I said last week it was two weeks ago.
And he said maybe Salvador or White are gone. And Salvador and White are not going to give you 40 points on defense, but they're both physical defensemen. I mean, you could argue that they maybe make a little bit too much money, especially White. But if you trade White away, even if he's only giving you, 10 or 12 minutes, he's a tough-as-nails defenseman. Rolston and Zubris are the two guys that, everyone in New Jersey is saying that should be moved.
Let me ask you this.
Both of those guys, it's going to be difficult.
Let me ask you this. I mean, there's talk that it would be a prospect that they have to give up, Vladimir Zarkov being one. Adam Henrique from the Windsor Spitfires they just drafted being another one. If you're New Jersey, let me ask you this in terms of a game plan. Do you trade possibly Rolston and possibly one of those top prospects, or do you buy out one of those defensemen and maybe buy out a lower-end forward and say, or send a guy to the minors and say, we're not giving up any more of these young prospects. We don't have many of them anymore. We're going to keep them. We're going to keep Rolston because, you know, he's probably better off with us, more valuable for us than not, and then buy out one of the other players or even buy out Rolston. But basically saying we're elevating our prospects to status of do not touch because we don't have many of them left and we think very highly of them.
And you can't buy out Rolston, right?
You could, but probably not because it won't benefit you that much.
Right.
Sending him to the minors would benefit you, but he's still an NHL player, so that'd be a slap in the face, and no guy would want to sign with you.
The downside to having Ilya, right? I mean,
that's right.
Somebody's going to have to go. One of those two guys, right. One of those two forwards are going to have to go, or one of those two defensemen are going to have to go because nobody else makes that much money.
Mm-hmm.
They're not. I mean, right. if you're trading Travis Zajac, then you're really going to be in a bind there because
you can't trade Zajac. I heard those rumors.
You can't trade him.
Bruce Garriott started those rumors of the Ottawa Sun. I think those were bogus. I don't think they're going to trade him. I don't think they even entertained the thought of trading him. He's good in the faceoffs. He's a good two-way player. He's got a good shot. He's a very, very, very complimentary number one center. I mean, complimentary in a complimentary way, using the word twice in different contexts. You know what I mean? He's a guy and a guy who can really play well with a guy like Parise. If you have good scoring wingers, he's a very good centerman to play defense and set up the guys and win some draws. His value is he's young, first of all, too. So, I mean, this guy's got great value. You don't trade Travis Zajac if you're trying to move forward with your team. You trade the other guys, you buy them guys out, you throw them to the minors, you even trade a prospect, because some of your prospects probably won't ever turn into a Travis Zajac type.
And Richie has a 99-mile-per-hour slap shot. We saw it.
We saw it live, yeah. It surprised me, actually, by the way. Last thing,
trade a guy with a howitzer.
I want to quickly get your thoughts before we go to rapid fire after the break here. Kirk Maltby signed a one-year two-way deal. What do you think of these players signing two-way deals? You know, these veteran NHL players who've been around for years, having
Chelios
to sign two-way
had
deals.
One last year, yeah. Right?
I mean, is that essentially...
He's this year's Chelios, pretty much.
You know, he's not as
old. He'll help out the veterans.
Yeah, he's a guy who can play in the...
He'll help out the rookies.
He can't keep up, and he can hardly play much anymore in terms of the NHL. A guy who's really carved out a terrific career for himself. Became a World Cup player. I believe he was on the Olympic team, too, in 2006, but... He was certainly on the 2004 World Cup team, and a guy who carved out a really nice niche as a really good defensive two-way right winger with good awareness. And I have to say something about Kirk Maltby. I mean, he played a style that was he agitated the opponents, but he certainly, to his credit, he certainly made the most of his talents. Did he not?
Yeah, I mean, he was a good player.
I mean, he is
a good player.
He was a good player
for Detroit for many years, but last year it became evident that. He lost something from the previous year, so...
I give Kenny Holland...
It's out of respect, a two-year deal. That's what it is.
I think what it is, a two-way deal, I think, is mutual respect. Kenny Holland giving him a chance, but and Maltby also saying, I don't need a one-year deal. You don't owe me that, but I'm happy you're giving me a chance. I think there's a mutual respect there. I think Kenny Holland does a terrific job of managing not only the cap, but egos. And I think that sometimes gets, thrown to the side in terms of importance. Players want, you may say that it doesn't really matter if the players respect you, don't respect you, the organization. I think that if players respect the organization, they want to play for the organization, that rubs off on other players signing there, that rubs off in the locker room, that rubs off on youngsters. I think that Kirk Maltby, the way that Kenny Holland has handled the veteran players there on their way out is certainly a credit to him. And if he's not already the best general manager, I think that might even put him a step above everybody else. After the break, we're going to do rapid fire. You're listening to the Legal Curve Radio Show live on 92.9 KICK FM.
Support the Great Canadian Talk Show and shop for our exclusive merchandise at cafepress.com/kicktalk.
A stylish collection of men's and women's t-shirts, sweatshirts, hoodies, barbecue aprons, infant, toddler, and kids' wear. There's coffee mugs and beer signs, stickers, and more. Just go to cafepress.com/kicktalk and show the world you get the real story. From the Great Canadian Talk Show on Winnipeg's Indie Station 92.9, KICK FM.
And now, the difference between a few drinks and being a dummy. This young man has had a few drinks.
Hi, wanna dance?
Sure.
And now a few too many drinks.
Hey, baby, she wanna...
Oh, gross, my shoes.
So what's so great about drinking until you're a dummy? Seriously, be undrunk. And find out how you can win a MacBook, iPod, or iTunes gift card at beundrunk.com.
A message from the MLCC. This is the sound of safety. It's a vehicle alcohol interlock. It measures alcohol in a driver's breath. If it finds any, the car won't start, and someone, somewhere, won't be in danger. We're Mad Canada, and we believe people convicted of impaired driving should have an alcohol interlock in their cars. Yes, it's an inconvenience, but death is final. Mad Canada, helping the victim, stopping the crime.
Haha, I did it!
What?
I connected my Proton accelerator to my hard drive, and now I can update my Facebook status without viewing all of the annoying ads. I'm a genius!
Or you could just join Winnipeggers.ca, Winnipeg's own social media website, and update your Facebook status right from your Winnipeggers account.
Oh.
That's right, Winnipeg. Go to Winnipeggers.ca and create your profile by logging in with your Facebook account. It's that easy. Plus, enjoy games, contests, and more. Yes, Winnipeg, this is your ultimate homepage.
Because Winnipeg, it's all about you.
Yeah, Ezzy taking calls, Denise taking calls during the break. Nobody calls me. I'm hurt.
Well, that was Remy, but I mean...
Remy, yeah, that's right. Denise calls him Remy. His name is Michael Remus.
The audio
calls him Remy.
Let's just say that this is going to be the worst Ustream broadcast ever.
Maybe the worst Ustream broadcast, but you'll be able to get this on KKFM tomorrow afternoon. Put it on your iPod, listen on your Windows Media Player, whatever it may be, in the car, on your computer. So we're still going to have a copy of this show that's going to end up just right. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to the Legal Court Radio Show. I'm Richard Pollack, joined by Ezra Ginsburg, Denise Izat. Behind the glass, we have had an action-packed show tonight, as Drew would say. You know, Drew always says action-packed. No matter what the show is, it's always
action-packed.
If you notice that, it's always action-packed.
Yeah.
Anyhow, if you just joined us, we had Shelley Anderson of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette on the first hour to talk about Mike Comrie signing in Pittsburgh. Sidney Crosby getting better, if that's possible. The signings on defense there, Mihailik and Martin. We delved really deep into the... Pittsburgh Penguins roster there, talked a lot about that. We've talked about basically everything hitting the hockey wire this week, so if you missed the show, you can get it tomorrow on www.kickfm.com. Kick.fm, excuse me. On legalcurve.com, we'll also have that. And we'll talk about where you can get the show after and when it's replayed. You know, Drew does a show spiel at the end, so I'll copy him. Drew, by the way, will be back next week. Next week on our show, I should mention, and I'm going to mention it when we go off the air. Next week on our show, Mike Emmerich of NBC. And MSG in terms of the New Jersey Devils broadcast. Mike Emmerich, probably the preeminent hockey announcer in the United States of America, is going to be on the show, booked by Ezra. He's going to be on the show next week, as well as Bill Hoppe, writes for MSG about the Buffalo Sabres. He's going to be on the show. So we have next week's show is already booked up. And then the weeks after that, we're going to talk about that. Why don't we talk about that right now? The weeks after that, next week is the 15th. We're going to have Emmerich and Hoppe, as I just said. The 22nd, we're going to leave that one open. The 29th is going to be our fantasy preview show. I just got my McKean's Hockey magazine sent to me today by Gus Caseros, a writer and editor for this magazine. Looks great. He's going to be on the show. I already booked him up on the show, September 29th, Gus Caseros. That's going to be a two-hour show dedicated strictly to fantasy hockey. We're going to talk about sleepers. We're going to talk about busts. We're going to talk about top 10 players. We're going to talk about defense. We're going to talk about goalies. Everything that you need. September 29th is going to be the show that you download to prep for your pool. And, of course, the week after, October, I believe it is 6th, I think, 5th or 6th, is going to be our NHL preview show. So we're going to talk about every single division. We're going to make our predictions. We're going to do all that. So it's an exciting time. We're getting right back into the hockey season again. Summer flew by. It is September, so I consider this already to be fall. It's kind of cold here in Winnipeg, Manitoba, and we're looking forward to it here in the Legal Curve crew is looking really looking forward to it. Remus will be back next week manning the R desk. Ezzy will be back into his chill spot when he doesn't have to worry about the computer as much. I'll be to Drew's left, and Drew will be in my seat being the host as per usual. But before we go, of course, last segment means rapid fire.
Rapid fire.
Best pierogies.
I actually really like Andrew Ladd.
Grassroots.
Old-timey Leafs. Heck of a hockey player.
Portage and Podine.
Scott Niedermeyer.
Six Norrises.
Good passer.
You have to score to win these days.
So dominant.
Guys.
Big rangy centerman.
This team can't score.
Dick Duff.
Bad Toronto teams.
We are family.
Enough Katy Perry's on.
No Edmonton bias.
One last one at the Palomino.
God willing,
Lady Gaga can show up in my locker room any day.
That is the rapid fire theme. That actually one was used before. If you're wondering who the one last one for the Pal is, that's former NHL hockey player Sean Podine, now scouting for Octagon Hockey in Minnesota. And probably one of the funniest interviews we've done on the show before. Podine was arguably one of the nicest guys we've had on. We've had a lot of nice guys, but we haven't had that many players, and he's one of the few players or former players we've had on, and he was a gem. So I encourage you to go back and listen to the Podine show.
We voted him the best guest of all time, right?
He was amazing. We were howling, all of us, weren't we?
Yeah.
Rapid fire first topic, Ezzy. You ready to go?
I'm ready to go, man.
You ready? Dion Phaneuf. Say anything about
da, 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 da. Remember that? Dion Phaneuf. Man, I missed the days when Dion Phaneuf was a good hockey player.
Well, here, Dion Phaneuf said anything but the playoffs for the Leafs this year is a bust. Is he nuts?
Worst captain ever.
Most importantly, is he setting the team up for failure?
Why would you predict the team making the playoffs when your team is terrible? Man, yes, he is setting them up for failure if they don't make the playoffs. Listen, man, if Toronto makes the playoffs, I hope Toronto makes the playoffs. Why? People are going to say, why do you hope they make the playoffs? It's always better when Toronto's in the playoffs. I'm sorry. I always think, I'm always of the opinion that when the playoffs start, if all Canadian teams are in, that's great. So when any Canadian team doesn't make the playoffs, I'm a little bit, I shed a tear. So I hope that he's right. I hope that the Leafs make the playoffs. But if they don't, it's just one of those little things that can be held against you. But I give him the credit for having the cojones for saying that, though.
I give him the credit, too. I mean, I think he's wrong, and I think that he is setting himself up for more pressure than is necessary, although in Toronto there's so much pressure anyways. I think he's between a rock and a hard place. There has to be a leader, has to put his expectations up for that team, but I don't think the expectations that he puts out are very realistic, although there's obviously a chance they can make the playoffs, but they're not going to get past the first round if they somehow do make the playoffs. As the second question in Ottawa, Gary Galli was looking to move away from being a color commentator to spend some more time with his family.
Awesome. Family's important.
Obviously. You know who his replacement was? Have you heard of this?
Who is it?
Denny Potvin. Hall of Fame defender for the New York Islanders.
What's his connection to Ottawa? He lives there?
I don't know actually if he lives there, but known to young players. I think he's from Montreal or around that region.
Yeah.
Known to many younger guys maybe as a Florida Panthers color commentator for years with Jeff Rimmer. Jeff Rimmer's actually the one who broke the news. Denny Potvin, you watch a lot of NHL Center Ice Package, Ezzy. What do you think of Denny Potvin's work as a color commentator over the years?
In Florida, right?
That's right.
I don't watch a lot of Florida games. That's why.
That's not a good answer.
Do I have to explain why I don't watch a lot of Florida games?
Denny Potvin,
I like to watch good hockey teams.
He's got that old-time voice, Denny Potvin. I like him. I think he's a good hire there. Obviously, they want a guy who can do it full-time with Dean Brown. I think they could do a lot worse than Denny Potvin.
Dean Brown's a good play-by-play guy. I like Dean Brown. No problem with Dean Brown.
Detroit. Next one. Detroit. We're going to rapid fire now. Drew likes to go slow fire. We're going to do rapid fire here.
He does go slow.
Andreas Lilja admitted this week, actually, that he's regretting not taking the $1 million offer from the Detroit Red Wings. And, of course, they use that money to sign Ruslan Salé for, I think, $850,000 or $850,000. Lilja admitting he made a mistake is interesting because most players don't admit that they made a mistake, especially in accepting money. What do you think of this? Do you like his honesty?
Didn't Andreas Lilja also come out and say that he wished he would have smoked weed with Tupac as well? No, of course, I'm joking. That was Mike Tyson. You heard about that, right?
Did you hear about this? New documentary's coming out. If it's not hockey, I don't hear about it.
Why did someone make a documentary about Mike Tyson's relationship with Tupac? Who cares?
I don't know, but the ESPN's overhyping it, as per usual.
Well, no, hey, I love ESPN. 30 for 30 is probably the greatest thing ever.
30 for 30 was a terrific invention. I just wish that they wouldn't overhype that kind of thing. I think that they can let the movies do the talking.
I think it's hilarious that Tyson said that he wished he smoked pot with Tupac. I mean, of all of the things to say that you wish you would have done with Tupac, smoke weed is not something. Obviously, I guess that would be part of it. But what's the question about Lilja? I completely forgot what you asked me, Richie.
I forget what we were even talking about because I don't even know what you're talking about right now.
Well, I just smoke pot, so just kidding.
Oh boy!
Let me read the question here.
Cut.
He admits that he didn't accept the $1 million offer was a mistake. Yes, I appreciate his honesty. Why isn't he worth $1 million? Lilja, $1 million.
Why can't he be part of the
millionaires club?
The issue there with Lilja is that he had concussion problems last year, so I'm surprised he didn't jump at that $1 million, especially with a chance to play number six spot there in Detroit. Any event, Ottawa is rumored to be the 2012 host of the All-Star Game. That's rumored to be the place that the NHL is going to move. Also, it would be in line with the 20th anniversary of the return of the Ottawa Senators to the Ottawa region. Ezzy, your thoughts on Ottawa possibly
being... Has it already been 20 years that they've been back? Wow.
Your thoughts on Ottawa possibly being the next venue, or the 2012 venue for the All-Star game?
I like it because I think that there was too much of a gap there between Canadian cities hosting the All-Star game. And, you know, Ottawa's got great fans. They're not the loudest fans. They're not loud like they are in Montreal. But the All-Star game was a huge success, in my opinion, in Montreal last year. 2 years ago, actually, mind you. It's a good venue for the All-Star game. I mean, I think... If an All-Star game is going to be successful, it's going to be in a hockey market.
A hockey market, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean,
I'd love for them to play like outside. That'd be cool for me. That would be cool for playing the All-Star game outside. But I realize I don't want the novelty to wear off in terms of playing the outdoor games. So I understand that. I'm not gonna voice my complaints about that. There's lots more things in the NHL that you can complain about, and I don't think that's really one of them. The All-Star game itself is a whole other story. Came through today, Ezzy, that Taylor Hall is going to be wearing number 4.
It sure did.
Next year for the Edmonton Oilers, number 4. Formerly and only worn by team president and former lockdown defenseman Kevin Lowe. What do you think about them giving number 4 to Taylor Hall as opposed to retiring that jersey for Kevin Lowe?
Kevin Lowe's number should be retired.
I think so too.
And when it does, he'll probably have to go to 19, right? That's the other number that he.
Well, I don't know, but why would you even give it to him if you're not retiring it right now? And why would you retire it? Why would you give it to him if you're not going to retire? Is what I'm asking.
You know, there hasn't been a lot of hype surrounding Taylor Hall wearing number 4 like there was with Crosby wearing 87. Obviously, there was an issue, but just the number 4 for Taylor Hall, it's just kind of an average number. So
I like how
this has only come up, but...
I like how he wears a single number, though. That's old-time hockey. That's old-time hockey.
It is old for a forward, yeah. For a forward to wear that low of a number because that's a defenseman's number.
Surprising also with all of the talent they played in Edmonton that none of them really, not many of them wore low numbers. I know Glenn Anderson did, was in the 10s, but...
It's great, though. I mean, why not? Kevin Lowe, obviously, they asked
him
out of respect, and he was there for the announcement, right?
Wasn't he their first draft pick? Kevin Lowe should be... He played
first ever draft pick.
Yeah, Kevin Lowe should... And first quality of the play on ice. I think Kevin Lowe should be retired in Edmonton, but that's just my opinion.
Next. 5 cups?
Yeah.
I mean, you couldn't have been 6. You couldn't
5 in Edmonton.
5,
one
yeah,
in
five
Rangers,
in Edmonton.
Yeah.
You couldn't have any more, so what do you have to do?
I know. For that time, that's very true. Over the weekend, I guess it was, Duncan Keith and Dave Bowen had the luxury of singing "Take Me Out to the Ball Game" at Wrigley Field, you know, the classic 7th inning stretch there at Wrigley Field. I wanted to get people's takes on it, or at least Ezzy's take on it. So what we're going to do is we're going to actually play the clip.
I haven't heard this yet.
We're going to play the clip. If you want to listen to these guys, this is Duncan Keith and Dave Bowen. Play the clip, Denise, and we'll see what people think, or what Ezzy thinks.
Or we can listen to some
41. Nice to be back in Chicago, and... We're all looking forward to getting the season going again, getting training camp started, and nothing better than getting out here, catching a ball game before it all starts. I don't think I'm nervous anymore. I've done it a couple times before at the White Sox game, but I don't know. This is Wrigley Field, so it's pretty special.
Than I thought it was going to be. That was bad.
Is that the first time that you've listened to that?
Yeah, I've heard it. That, by the way, courtesy of Pro Hockey Talk on NBC website. That's a hilarious clip pass along there.
Oh, that's so out of tune.
Wow, that was terrible. I think I'm pretty bad, but I think I could have done a better job.
I like the little clip before he went on saying, oh, yeah.
My mom would just
Yeah, I've heard this many times, and it's I'm going to do a great job. And he goes up there.
Yeah, well, that was terrible.
Completely puts no energy into it.
My
but,
God.
Who knows when they asked him to do that.
Let Norris Trophy do the talking, because I don't want him doing the talking. Alexander Ovechkin, as he is rated higher than Sidney Crosby in NHL 2011, which just came out yesterday, I believe. Agree or disagree with that?
Disagree.
Yeah, me too.
Sidney Crosby
better last year.
He should be 110 in that game, and Ovechkin should be a 98.
Well, I think Ovechkin was 94 and Crosby was 93 or something like that. But I think Crosby should be rated higher than Ovechkin. At least equal.
Apparently, this game's only been out for a short time right now, but apparently Crosby's actually better in the game despite the rating.
Really?
I don't know how that works. I haven't played NHL since 2004.
I haven't played since
back in the PS2 days.
2000 on my computer.
The space bar?
I had a controller. The deke where you could go past the goaltender and just basically through the crease and then just pop it in the corner every time. I scored like 12 goals a game.
I think it was NHL 94, NHL 95, the fake shot into the corner.
Well, we had a tournament way back when. We had a tournament on a big screen. This was back when we were at camp. We were probably 18, 19, and we had a tournament in NHL 94, and I got beat in the finals. I was the Islanders, got beat by the Jets, though. So if I'm going to be by any team, it might as well be the Jets.
Who'd you play in the finals, Richie?
A guy named Kyle Lizotte, who's a huge, who was a counselor at camp, but was a huge Return of the Jets fan, and I hope he's listening right now. I haven't seen him in about 10 years. But lastly, last part of Rapid Fire, Sidney Crosby goes to Pittsburgh Pirates batting practice today and belts a homer. Is this guy Superman? Is he Superman?
Where are you getting this stuff?
Is he Superman?
Are you getting this off of Foursquare?
Crosby texted me, told me to mention it. Yeah. Is this guy Superman? Who hits a homer at 320 feet?
Ooh, center field.
No,
center field?
That's right field. Center field's like 400 feet, is he?
Yeah, that's right.
Your thoughts?
We just froze on Ustream, by the way.
Well,
and it was too good to be true.
As long as you don't freeze on the radio.
We got a good half an hour there anyway.
Got cheers and jerseys ready, Denise? I know Ezzy doesn't have a chair. You're ready.
Oh, no, we didn't freeze. We're still here.
Here we go.
Cheers and jeers.
Cheers and jeers.
Cheers and jeers.
Ready to roll.
Cheer to the NHL. I'm not really a big fan of this flashy award show. Listen, we're not the MTV Music Awards. If you're not going to do it right and have Katy Perry in a plastic dress, don't do it at all.
Easy cheer for me, Scotty Niedermeyer. Fantastic career. Picked the right time to go out.
My cheer, I'm going to give props to Dino Cicerelli on his induction in the Hall of Fame.
I'm going to jeer the Hockey Hall of Fame committee, but I thought Pat Burns' omission was wrong. Cheers and jeers.
Jeer.
Cheer or jeer.
Mike, you did a good job on that one.
Remy.
Remy did a good job. That's a new nickname, Remy. Well, cheer or jeer, Ezzy.
Remy had a big dinner tonight. He called in.
You guys were talking on
dinner. Dinner ended about half an hour ago. Richie, me and you have a late Rosh Hashanah dinner coming up.
We have a late Rosh Hashanah dinner. A little turkey. Some meatballs.
We only have
some matzo ball soup. You need some matzo ball soup there?
You know what? There's only two of us in the studio. We're going to have to, Denise, you're going to have to throw out a cheer and a jeer. Or a jeer. Because two is just not enough.
All right, that's fair.
Two is not enough.
Really know.
So you can cheer. You can cheer. Drew not being here.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Sorry,
Drew.
We joke. It's a new year. Only good
exactly.
things.
Exactly.
All right, Ezzy. Cheer.
Okay, this isn't even going to be an NHL cheer. This is going to be off the radar. But I know you are going to love this, and I know all of the fans of the Winnipeg Jets are going to love this.
Do it.
Kurt Kielbach is getting my cheer, okay? Did you hear about this?
I heard this.
Okay, Richie, I know you heard. I know you wouldn't let that go under the wire.
Talking about Crosby's homers, of course that's not going to get past me.
Well, I could never. Hey, Drew, for some reason, Drew is popping up everywhere with you know NHL news. So I'm never going to pass anything by him. But
but Drew got me up to date, and I was searching a lot.
Okay, Kurt Kielbach, for everyone out there who hasn't heard, is actually coming back to the broadcast booth. He hasn't been on the radio, I believe, for 2 years now. He was, of course, after the Jets. He did play-by-play for the Phoenix Coyotes on TV, actually, not on radio.
With Darren Pang, a guest of this show?
With Darren Pang. He, of course, was a radio broadcaster, but he became a TV broadcaster with the Phoenix Coyotes.
Great save,
but he's coming back on NCIFM. He's going to do the Manitoba Junior Hockey League, which is awesome.
Because
I am biased. You can say I'm biased, but as far as I'm concerned, he is the best play-by-play guy there is out there, with the exception, of course, of two guys, Bob Cole and the guy that we're having on next week, Mike Emmerich. I think those two guys
are
Hall of Famers. Bob Cole and Mike Emmerich. But Kurt Kielbach doesn't take a back seat to them. I'm just saying that, of course, you've got to give those two guys the respect they deserve. But Kurt Kielbach, best guy out there, and he's coming back to do the MJHL, which is awesome. So he gets my cheers this week.
Kurt Kielbach right now, I'm with you, Ezzy. Kurt Kielbach's probably the best guy not in the NHL right now calling games.
Yeah.
My opinion. There's a lot of great guys out there, but he's one of them.
You guys should do two each, you know?
No. We want to be on time here. But good suggestion. My cheer this week goes to Yaroslav Halak. He mentioned, as mentioned by Drew last week, Drew the news junkie that he is, as mentioned by Drew last week, Yaroslav Halak went back to Montreal to kind of say his goodbyes before finally moving to St. Louis, and he had agreed to sign autographs for money. And so some people say, oh, signing autographs for money, what is he, Pete Rose? No. Sign autographs for money, not going to his own pocket, going to the Children's Hospital in Montreal. I believe it was for charity for sure. He raised $22,000 for the charity, I believe the Children's Hospital, and that's just such a commendable decision by him. I mean, something that he didn't have to do. He raised money for a cause that was far more in need than he is. He doesn't need the money, and this cause and the causes like that and causes for all those different kinds of cancer society, all those kind of things, always need the funds. And so if you can throw $22,000 at them kind of out of nowhere, great props to him. Denise, you have a cheer? Jerry, you want me to go right to wrap it up?
No, I have a cheer for you. You keep saying my name wrong. Of all people, Richard.
What is it?
No, it's Denise, is it?
Oh, is it?
You said it so many different ways. I know. I was cracking up the
funny,
whole 2 hours.
I change it up just to make sure I'm... Oh, Gretz. They just showed Gretz on the U.S. Open.
Oh, Gretz is at the U.S. Open.
The U.S. Open.
Nice. Hey Denise, while we're on the topic of your name, okay, and you,
yes,
can you clarify for all of our listeners who brought you into a legal curve? Was it Drew or me? And I really hope you say me because I was arguing through. It wasn't me. Was it not me?
It was actually Drew.
Hold on. Okay, hold on. Now we have a problem. I asked Marty,
right,
host of the Great Canadian Talk Show,
right,
if he knew of someone who could op our show.
Okay.
And then I left a message with you, and then.
I never got
on Facebook, or
and then Drew called you.
Drew actually emailed me, and he said he got my contact from Marty, and that they needed an op for your show.
I asked Marty.
Did he have it in his very professional language, like usual?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't believe this.
I'm sorry.
I thought I was responsible for you, which is a great thing.
Do you do your impression right now, Drew? Do your impression for our listeners quickly.
It was a good Rosh Hashanah dinner. The family was there. The food was good.
Wow.
We watched a little baseball. It was great.
Denise,
I still maintain though, this is what I think happened. I think Drew stole the gift. It's like the salad. Drew stole the credit for the big salad.
Yeah.
I asked Marty for someone, and then Marty gave me a name, and then I gave it to Drew. You know what? It's just like Jerry Seinfeld taking credit for the umbrella twirling.
I'm gonna
take credit for Denise. Amazing. And of course, I mean, Drew couldn't find gold like that. Whatever, Denise. I don't care what you say. We're arguing. I really think I got you into the illegal curve family. So
technically, yeah, through Drew. Technically.
Through me and Drew. But
you can find the show tomorrow on the kick.fm website. It'll be archived. You can throw on your iPod. You can listen through the computer, whatever you choose, Windows Media Player, whatever you want to use to listen to this show tomorrow. Also, it'll be posted on legalcurve.com in the Legal Curve radio section. You can find the archived version of the show immediately on Ustream. It might be a little choppy tonight, but Ezzy did his best. So ustream.tv/illegalcurve. And, of course, you can sign up there, become a weekly visitor. And we love the amount of people that have been watching online, and the communication there and the chats there have been terrific.
Don't forget the rebroadcast.
Just going to say the rebroadcast tomorrow night will be broadcast, first of all, tomorrow night in Brandon on 106.5, CJKS, I believe it is. And then, is that good? Yeah, we rebroadcast this show Sunday mornings from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. Live here on 92.9 Kick FM. Of course, you can add us on Twitter at Illegal Curve. You can add us on Facebook at illegalcurve.com. We will provide you news throughout the week there. That'll be, you know, future guests, any kind of thoughts we have, anything else that you want to, you can communicate through us through there as well. So it's a two-way street, and you can get to us via email, drew@illegalcurve.com, or you can send it to me, richard@illegalcurve.com, or ezra@illegalcurve.com. Your email's back up now.
Yeah, Richie, I wanted to throw out a couple of things before I throw it back to you, and I know you want to wrap it up because we're approaching 2 hours here.
Yep.
The first thing was, did you hear about this Dale Hawerchuk celebrity auction happening at Foreplay?
No.
There's if you're in the Winnipeg area, Dale Hawerchuk's in town. He'll be at Foreplay. And
it's a sports bar.
I don't know if you guys want to go, but okay. Or if you can go. But there's going to be a bunch of NHLers signing autographs. I think you're only allowed to get one autograph per player or something like that. But Dale Hawerchuk's going to be in. I don't know a lot about it. Someone sent me the event on Facebook.
Yep.
But Dale Hawerchuk's going to be in town with a bunch of NHLers. I can't tell you who the other NHLers are going to be, but there's going to be a lot of NHLers.
What else on your mind, Ezzy?
In town. The other thing was I was going to remind everyone, tune in next week. One of my idols in the broadcasting business, Doc Emrick, along with Bill Hoppe, who's a big friend of the show. We mentioned that they're going to be on the show, but we want to remind everybody to tune in next week because we're really kicking off our NHL preview coverage next week and the week after.
Then big time in the
training camp.
After that, fantasy show.
Yep. Fantasy show is going to be huge because this year, last year we did a bit of a mock pool, but this year we're going to do something different and we're going to really ramp up the coverage because we want to give people a little bit. TSN and Sportsnet and the Score, they offer a certain type of fantasy coverage, but we want to give the hardcore fan something a little bit different. So look forward to that. Next week's going to be an awesome show. So
for Ezra Ginsberg, Denise, is it? Is that right?
Absolutely right.
For Ezra Ginsberg, Denise, I'm Richard Pollack. You've listened to the Legal Career Radio Show. Thanks very much and have a terrific night.